ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Canto 6, chapter number 15. In the 14th chapter, we have seen how Chitraketu Maharaj was lamenting because he did not have a son, and Angira performed a sacrifice and he got a son, and his affection for the son and his mother, Kritadyuti, the first wife, increased a lot because of this undue affection. He neglected his other wives and otherwise poisoned the child, and the child died and everyone was lamenting. So in that context, Narada Muni and Angira arrive. Sri Shuka Uvacha Uchatur Mrtakopatante Potitam Mrtakopanam Shokabhibhutam Rajanam Bodhayantu Saduktibhihi.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, while King Chitraketu, overcome by lamentation, lay like a dead body at the side of the dead body of his son, the two great sages, Narada and Angira, instructed him about spiritual consciousness as follows.
So Chitraketu was lamenting. He was like a dead body next to another dead body, the boy's dead body. So the power of attachment is so intense that it will make one indifferent to the reality. So Chitraketu became so attached to the son that he could not see what is the reality there. So Narada Muni and Angira had to come and inform him the reality. Then he will come back to his senses. So citing the stringent laws of Almighty, even the sages and Krishna informed the Pandavas of the reality. If you remember in the first canto, 8th chapter, Pandavas were lamenting, Draupadi was lamenting because of the death of his 5 children and so many other relatives also. So there also the philosophy was quoted. Right. So now this entire chapter and the first half of the next chapter are filled with so many philosophical discussions, philosophical instructions from Narada Muni, Angira, and from the dead child who came back alive. Koyam Syattava Rajendra Bhavanyam Anushochati Tvamchasya Katamah Srishtau Uredanim Atahparam.
O King, what relationship does the dead body for which you lament have with you? And what relationship do you have with him? You may say that you are now related as father and son, but do you think this relationship existed before? Does it truly exist now? Will it continue in the future?
Koyam Syat Tava Rajendra Bhavanyam Anushochati. Ko ayam, who is this for whom you are lamenting so much? Anushochati, O Rajendra, O King. Tvam chasya katamaha srishtau puredanim atahparam. So did you have any relationship with this dead body for which you are lamenting earlier? Will you have any relationship with this body later? So Narada Muni, by his question, he is indicating that when you don't have a relationship with something in the past, and when you will not have any relationship with something in the future, and if it is existing only in the present, that is called temporary. What is temporary? Temporary object or temporary relation or anything which is called temporary means it does not have its existence in all three phases of time. What are the three phases of time? Past, present and future. So anything temporary has existence only in the present, not in the past, not in the future. The relationship between Chitraketu and this dead son was not existent before his birth, will not be existence from now. It was existing only for just a couple of years, or whatever time. Time is not clear from this, a very short time. So in the purport, Prabhupada is elaborating on the temporary and illusory nature of all material relationships. So instructions given by Narada and Angira are truly spiritual. The world is temporary, but because of our previous karma, we come here and accept bodies, creating temporary relationships in terms of society, friendship, love, nationality and community, which are all finished at death. So they don't exist in the past, they will not exist in the future. So we should not be overwhelmed by the present. So material relationships are temporary, but spiritual relationships are permanent. The relationship between Krishna and Nanda Yashoda as parents and child, that is permanent. Relationship between Krishna and all the gopas as friends, that is permanent. So a living entity is eternally connected with Krishna. His connection with other living entities is because of his karma. He comes in contact with the different people for a short time, and then he will be scattered, right, by the force of time, by the waves of time. So that is temporary, but relationship with Krishna is permanent. So an understanding of the temporary nature of material world is not meant to make us irresponsible to our duties. It is not meant to make us indifferent to our current relations. We should have the understanding that yes, these are all temporary relationships, but we should not become cold in our behavior with people with whom we are interacting. Right? The dealings can be cordial, but the understanding should be it's a temporary dealing. Because of Krishna's will, any time there could be a separation in this relationship. At any time. Just within no time, he will be somewhere and you will be somewhere. Right? Yes, correct. That is a spiritual relationship. It's not material. So, third verse. Yatha prayanti samyanti. Shroto vegena balukah. Samyujyante viyujyante. Tatha kalena dehinah.
O king, as small particles of sand sometimes come together and sometimes separated due to the force of waves, the living entity who have accepted material bodies sometimes come together and sometimes separated by the force of time.
Yatha prayanti samyanti. Prayanti samyanti. Prayanti means getting separated. Samyanti means coming together. Right? Samyunakti viyunakti. Same words are, similar words are used in a different context. So, yatha prayanti samyanti shroto vegena balukaha. Balukaha means small particles of sand. Shrota means shroto ganastamaranam bhajavasu devam. Shrota means waves. So, on the bank of an ocean, the oceanic waves or tides are just coming and pushing aside all the sand particles. Right, on the seashore, you will find sand. And there are so many millions of particles of sand. So they come together and they are dispersed because of the force of waves. So their staying together is for a few moments, and their getting separated also will happen in a few moments because of waves of time. And in our case, human beings, we come together for a few years, maybe a few decades. Then we get separated, right? So for them it is few moments, sand particles. For living entities, it is few years. It could be few days. Right? So many people come here, guests. They come, stay for 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, 4 hours, day visit. and then they leave. Right? So, Angira Rishi is actually changing the entire course of Chitraketu's life. What has been his life so far? He's a great king with 1 crore wives, so much opulence, anticipating a son. Now, he gave him a son, he took him away immediately, and then he's giving these instructions. See? This is like very revolutionary change, right? Turning point in his life. Suddenly, where he will end up? He will end up at the lotus feet of Lord Sankarshan. So, demigods follow the karma of Jiva, but a devotee can entirely change the karma of a living entity. 11th canto, one verse comes that demigods just give you the results of your karma, but a devotee will interrupt the results of your karma. Devotee will change the entire course of your life by enlightening you in devotional service. To the extent we take him seriously, to that extent there could be some revolution in the life. Otherwise, just follow the course of karma. Right? So, what is that verse? Vidyate hridaya granthis chidyante sarvasamsayah kshiyante chasya karmani drishta evatmanishvare. Vidyate hridaya granthis, all doubts in our heart will be vanquished. Chidyante sarvasamsayah, vidyate hridaya granthis, the knot of the heart is broken. Chidyante sarvasamsayah means all our doubts are vanquished. Kshiyante chasya karmani, the cycle of karma will be terminated when one comes in contact with the process of bhakti through a devotee. So demigods can give you results of your karma. So bodily conception of life. Prabhupada says, the misunderstanding of conditioned soul is the bodily conception of life. No question of happiness. So what is spiritual understanding? You are condemning bodily conception. What is spiritual conception? That is, body is material. Body in which the soul is present is eternal. So dehi nosmin yatha dehe. We are not the body, we are spiritual beings trapped in the body. Our real interest lies in understanding this simple fact. Then we can make further spiritual progress. So understand that only in this bodily conception of life we consider this miserable material existence as a permanent place or a place worth residing. But Krishna says, dukhalayam ashashvatam. Now, Chitraketu may say, oh, you are saying that my relationship with this boy is temporary. We just came together just like sand particles come together in the waves of time. And my lamentation is not valid. So, Chitraketu says, I may or may not be his father or his son. I agree that much. But please tell me, for what fault do I experience this suffering caused by an object of affection? Yeah, relationship is temporary, that much I understand. But my suffering here is real. This relationship may not be real, right? But my suffering is real. So, because my loving object has been separated from me, I am experiencing suffering because of this separation. So, what is my problem? So, in the fourth verse, they say, यथा धानाशु वै धाना भवन्ति न भवन्ति च एवं भूतानि भूतेषु चोदितानि शमायया.
When seeds are sown in the ground, they sometimes grow into plants and sometimes do not. Sometimes the ground is not fertile and the sowing of seeds is unproductive. Similarly, sometimes a prospective father, being impelled by the potency of Supreme Lord, can beget a child, but sometimes conception does not take place. Therefore, one should not lament over the artificial relationship of parenthood, which is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord.
Yata dhanasu vai dhana bhavanti na bhavanti cha. You plant a seed, the seed may become a plant, or seed may not become a plant, right? So just like a seed may or may not be productive in terms of producing a plant, similarly this parenthood is also like that. A fertile father and a fertile mother may combine with each other, but it may not lead to a conception. A sterile father and a sterile mother may combine with each other. It's expected that they will not get a conception, but they may also get. Right? So what combination will bring out what combination, it all depends on the sanction. Externally, you will find some reasons. So just as a sterile grain cannot produce more grain, a sterile person by the will of the Lord cannot beget a child. Right? Sometimes a child is born even of an impotent father and sterile mother. And sometimes a potent father and fertile mother are childless. Right? Sometimes a child is born despite contraceptive methods. People want to avoid child. They do all kinds of things, but still child is born. Then they have to kill the child in the womb. That is called abortion. Right? So conclusion is, our arrangement of so-called scientific knowledge cannot determine what will take place. What is enacted actually depends on the supreme will. Right? Generally, this combination should produce this result. But it may not happen. Everything will not happen according to your expectation or the general trend. Anything can change at any time, in any way. Right? Spontaneous. You understand spontaneity, right? So managers have difficulty dealing with spontaneous people. Right? But by dealing with spontaneous people, you get a strength to deal with Krishna's. Maybe. He's also spontaneous, no? This statement we already discussed. One should act only to develop Krishna consciousness. For everything else, one should depend on the Supreme Person. One should not create plans that will ultimately make us frustrated. Right? So, one can plan for Krishna's service. One can pray for its execution. But ultimately what will happen is what Lord sanctions. Right? Your plan is good. Your plan making is good. You should do it. And you can pray for its execution also, proper execution also. But sanction is needed for the result to come. So, yeah, man proposes, God disposes. Prabhupada also writes somewhere here. So, we should not be obsessed with obtaining certain results in our life. I have made this plan. I have made all these arrangements. So it should work. And I'm supposed to get this result. It may not happen. Sometimes you may get results way beyond your expectation. That is Krishna's will. Sometimes you may not get a result at all in spite of your hard endeavors. That is also Krishna's will. Whatever Krishna sanctions will happen. Not a blade of grass will move. But our responsibility is, let's make intelligent plans and execute them with responsibility and leave it in the hands of Krishna. So one will, as to the extent one thinks he is the doer of what he is doing, to that extent he gets frustrated when his plans fail. But if he leaves room for spontaneity, if he leaves room for Krishna's will to prevail, then he will not be frustrated when his plans fail. Right? I'm not saying that we should be disorganized. We have to be very organized. You need to be very organized. You should have a predictable working style. Right? You should not bewilder others by your super spontaneous working style and frustrate people. I'm telling you should be organized. But expect disorganization from any source at any time. And don't be bewildered by it. Right? It's Krishna's will. Krishna willing, this will happen. Krishna willing. So number 5. That's what Prabhupada is saying. One should act only to develop Krishna consciousness. You develop Krishna consciousness. If you are so obsessed that this should work this way only, then you are your efficiency conscious. Right? You are not Krishna conscious. You should be efficient. Right? You should work very effectively. No doubt about it. But you should always leave a room for Krishna's will to prevail. For everything else, one should fully depend upon Supreme Person. We should not create plans that will ultimately make us frustrated. Number 5. Vayam chatvam chaye cheme.
Vayam chatvam chaye cheme.
తుల్యకాలాశ్చరాచరాః జన్మ మృత్యోర్యథా పశ్చాత్ ప్రాణైవం అధునా పిభోః.
ఓ కింగ్, బోత్ యూ అండ్ అస్, యువర్ అడ్వైజర్స్, వైఫ్స్ అండ్ మినిస్టర్స్, యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ మూవింగ్ అండ్ నాట్ మూవింగ్ త్రూ అవుట్ ద ఎంటైర్ కాస్మోస్ ఎట్ దిస్ టైమ్ ఆర్ ఇన్ అ టెంపరరీ సిచ్యుయేషన్. బిఫోర్ అవర్ బర్త్ దిస్ సిచ్యుయేషన్ డిడ్ నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ అండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ అవర్ డెత్ ఇట్ విల్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ నో లాంగర్. Therefore, our situation now is temporary, although it is not false.
It is not false, it is temporary. So that is the difference between the understanding of the Mayavadis and Vaishnavas. Everything in the entire cosmos is now in a temporary situation. It did not exist in the past, it did not exist in the future. So that non-existence of something which is there in front of us now, and the non-existence of something in the past and in the future. It is existing in front of us now, but it is not existent in the past, it is not existent in the future. So that phenomena will make a Mayavadi think that it is false. But that phenomena, same phenomena, will make a Vaishnava think that it is temporary, not false. It is temporary. Why is it existing suddenly in the middle? Right? If it is not there in the past, it will not be in the future. Suddenly it came in the middle. It came because of Krishna's will. Krishna sanctioned for it to appear in the middle, in the present. So that Vaishnavas understand. And by Krishna's will, it is temporary. But Mayavadis, they remove Krishna's will into the picture and they will call it not temporary, false. Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Right? So why Krishna was willing to have it? He has different purposes in different contexts. Right? So a dream did not exist. So when you sleep, dream will come. The dream did not exist before you sleep. The dream will not exist after you wake up. Similarly, this material world also like that. So many situations are also like that. They are like dreams. They do not exist in the past, they will not exist in the future. But they are true in the sense that they are existent at least in the present. Right? So dream is true, but it is temporary dream. In the dream you may become a king. That is true. But once you wake up, you will not be king. So your being a king is true, but it is temporary thing. It's like a dream. So we do not lament for the situation in a dream before or after the dream. And so, during the dream or during a dream-like situation, one should not accept it as factual and lament about it. That is real knowledge. One should not be carried away by the temporary circumstances. Somebody may come and chastise you left, right, center. That's a temporary situation. After some time, he'll embrace you. Somebody may come and glorify you like anything today. Tomorrow, he'll come and gallify you also. Glorify you also. Wait for it. Don't get overexcited with temporary glorification and temporary chastisement. Right? Everything is temporary. Of course, some chastisements are very important. We need to take it very seriously. They are meant for our improvement. If we say this is temporary chastisement, let me continue with what I am doing, then you miss the point. It's coming temporarily so that you will have a permanent effect on you and you will improve. Similarly, glorification also, you need to glorify people and others also will appreciate you. You take that as an encouragement, take it as a boosting up for your progress and then continue like that. 6. So the understanding of being temporary should not make us irresponsible, should not make us irresponsible to our duties, should not make us indifferent to our relationships. That is how I began the class. Entire class will be understanding the temporary nature of relationships, temporary nature of the world. But ultimately, you should not come to a wrong conclusion that it's temporary. Okay? Let me be indifferent. Let me be callous. Let me be careless. That is not the message. Yeah, correct.
Like what one person has behaved in the previous life accordingly is getting the next.
Apply the temporariness to the situation, to the body, to things. But if you dwell so much into the temporariness, you will permanently continue to be temporary in temporary situations. Now this one situation is temporary. This one relationship is temporary. This one object is temporary. But you think that it is permanent and then you invest a lot of your time, energy, feelings, etc., etc., into that temporary thing, and you will end up in another temporary situation, another temporary relation, another temporary object. Like that, you will permanently be in a temporary situation. Right? We should give up this temporary stuff and then permanently go back to Godhead. That's what we are aspiring for. So our acceptance of something temporary as permanent will, you know, make us come in contact with more and more temporary situations permanently or perpetually. Bhūtair bhūtāni bhūtēśaḥ srijatyavati hanti ca ātmasriṣṭair avasthāntair anapekṣopi bālavat.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the master and proprietor of everything, is certainly not interested in the temporary cosmic manifestation. Nonetheless, just as a boy at the beach creates something in which he is not interested, the Lord, keeping everything under his control, causes creation, maintenance and annihilation. He creates by engaging a father to beget a son. He maintains by engaging a government or king to see to the public's welfare. And he annihilates through agents of killing such as a snake. The agents of creation, maintenance and annihilation have no independent potency, but because of the spell of the illusionary energy, one thinks himself the creator, maintainer and annihilator.
So the translation itself is quite explanatory. So Prabhupada says this entire creation or everything that is happening in this creation is like a child playing with dolls. A child may take dolls, he will take giraffe doll, elephant doll, or tiger doll and deer doll, and then make them embrace each other. Oh, he will play like that. What he will do, no one knows. The child will pick up anything from his hand, just 2-3 year old toddler, right? He will play. Just similarly, Lord is compared to that kind of child who just plays out of his own sweet will. So Lord is himself disinterested. He himself is detached. He is not attached to bringing people together, creating certain situations, even creating this world also. He is not attached to doing all these things. Just like a child is playing out of his causeless sweet will, similarly Lord is also causing many things to come together and then get dispersed. Right? So sometimes he may cause one person to be a father of a child, or another person to be king of state, or another person to be the destroyer of something, right? So king maintains, snake destroys, father creates. These are different agents through which Lord is creating, maintaining and destroying. So he has so many creative agents and maintenance agents and destroying agents. It could be a snake that can destroy. It could be a crab that can destroy. It could be someone else. It could be a JCB that can destroy something. So through various mediums, Lord is creating and destroying things in various ways and maintaining things in various ways. It's like a child's play. That's how the comparison is given. No one can independently do creation, maintenance and destruction. So what we need to understand through this example that Narada and Angira are giving is that we should not consider someone as a creator. Because he's a creator because of the will of the Lord. Because Lord empowered him to be the creator. A father is the creator of a child, but he is not the ultimate creator of the child. The ingredients with which the child's body is made is not coming from the father. Right? He is only giving the seed. But a further development is all happening through mother's body. And mother also, she is only giving certain ingredients. She is not supplying the seed. So father has some contribution, mother has some contribution, and once the child comes out of the womb, again the nature and so many other things in the nature will make the body grow. So like that, just for one body to develop, for one person to undergo certain change or transformation or certain experience, so many agents of the Lord which are created by him are helping him. At every moment, in every situation of our life, we are dependent on Lord's energies for our existence. For any beginning or any continuation or any end, Lord's agents are working. Lord's energies are working. So it's like child is playing. So, and all these intermediate creators or maintainers or destroyers, they're all dependent on the Lord. So Lord has these agents of prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimodhatma kartaham iti munyate. So through prakriti, through all these modes, Lord is creating and destroying. So unnecessarily, human beings with conditioned mentalities, they claim credit for all the activities that are happening. If you see in this philosophical note, nothing is happening without Krishna's intervention. At the same time, everything is happening without his personal intervention. His energies are taking care, right? So the duty of the leaders appointed by the Lord is to consult the Lord and act accordingly. The book for consultation is Bhagavad Gita, in which the Supreme Lord gives directions. Then everyone will be satisfied. So, few seventh verse. Chitraketu is saying, Dehena dehino rajan, Dehat deho abhijayate, Bijat eva yatha bijam, Dehiyartha iva sashvataha.
As from one seed, another seed is generated. O King, so from one body, the body of the father, through another body, the body of mother, a third boy is generated, the body of the son. As the elements of the material body are eternal, the living entity who appears through these material elements is also eternal.
So parents produce the body, but they cannot produce a soul. Right, soul is produced by the Lord only. So here, what is mentioned is, just like one seed, from one seed another seed is generated, from one body, through another body is generated. From one body, father's body, through mother's body, a child is generated. So two bodies come together to produce another body, a third body. So, but the living entity is eternal. So only by the combination of two bodies, another body is coming, but the soul is not coming. Right? Mother and father are not producing any soul. Since the body of a son, which you produced, is present before you now, why are you lamenting? Their question is, what you have produced is this body. And body is right there. My dear Chitraketu, whom are you lamenting for? You have produced only body. You have not produced soul. Body is there, right there. So, but I am lamenting because jiva is no longer present. Then the answer is, you never produced jiva. Are you the father of the jiva? No, you never produced. Why are you lamenting for something which you have not produced? And why are you lamenting for something which you have produced when it is right in front of you? So, it is not produced by you. There is no relationship. So, the purport analyzes this point. Potent entity. Now, the Supreme Lord's energies are there. So, they are of two categories. What is that? Superior living entity and inferior matter. Jiva and matter. So, this jiva desires to enjoy matter and he manipulates this material energy for his enjoyment, and he will become so-called father or mother of other living entity. It's only in a superficial sense. He does not become the father or mother of that living entity. He becomes the generator of the body of that living entity because of the system that Lord has created. If, say, a human father and human mother will come together to produce a human body, that is how Lord has created the system. A cow and bull come together and you will not get a human body, or you will not get a monkey body. You will get only cow body. This is how Lord has created the system. So you are just becoming the subservient of the system and thinking that you are the creator. That system is created by the Lord. The jiva does not belong to you. The body, in the ultimate sense, the body also does not belong to you. You never decided in what kind of body it will come. Did you decide the complexion of your child? You have to decide the physical attributes of your child. You have to decide the health of the child. No, you only desire to have sex. Right? You desire because of the conditioned nature, because of the passion which is within. And the child born. Child is born. How can you claim proprietorship over the child? He belongs to me. So, in the 10th canto, Narada Muni analyzes in the context of Nalakuvera Manigriva, when he was cursing them. He says, in some other context also it comes. Whom does this body belong to? Who can claim this body? Parents? No. Wife? No. Children? No. Employer who is giving salary and maintaining the body? No. Or the fire that is burning the body at that time of death? No. Then are the vultures who will be eating that body if the body is not burnt? Or is it the worms who may just eat the body up at the time of death? Or who actually is the proprietor of this body? No one knows. Things are happening because of the combination of certain elements. And when the combination happens, certain products are generated and they exist for some time by the will of the Lord. So, it's the desire of living entity to enjoy the material world that is keeping him in the material world and experiencing so many material circumstances. Right? So, one should not be carried away by any of such circumstances. Here another point is mentioned. 7th. As the elements of the material body are eternal. How do you explain this? Elements of the material body are eternal. And living entity who appears through these material elements is also eternal. Why the elements are eternal? Vinna prakriti rashtada. They are my separated energies. They are existent eternally because this body, although it is burnt or it dies, it decays, it will again go back into the elements. This earth element will merge back into the element. And again, that earth element will transform into some other body. Right? So like that materials, all these material elements are eternal. So you should not be lamenting for the material elements. The soul is eternal. You should not be lamenting for the soul because it departed. So your lamentation in any way is useless. Whether you consider the body, whether you are lamenting for the body, whether you are lamenting for the soul, both are eternally existing. So nothing is destroyed. But the form in which they present themselves, the particular unique combination in which they present themselves is missing. That's your point. That's your problem. Right? So that is a temporary situation. So why this? Now he philosophically ruled out that body is eternal, means the material elements with which the body is made is eternal and soul is eternal, you should not be lamenting. So what is missing there? Why is he lamenting for exactly? The relationship between himself and this person through this body as father and son, that is missing. My designation is to be a father. His designation has become a son. So this designation is no more there. That's why I'm lamenting. I understand material elements are eternal. I understand jiva is eternal. But this jiva and these material elements in certain proportions, in a specific combination, they have come and presented in front of me. They presented themselves in front of me and I developed a certain affection. I invested certain feelings and emotions into it and some bondage has developed. So I am attached to this designation as father. I want him as my son. I want that relationship. So, what is the solution? No, next verse, they smash that. Deha dehi vibhagoyam aviveka kritah pura jati vyakti vibhagoyam yatha vastuni kalpitah.
Division of generalization and specification, such as nationality, individuality, are the imagination of persons who are not advanced in knowledge.
So these designations are temporary. Divisions of generalization and specification, such as nationality and individuality. Nationality means generalization. Individuality means specification. I am specifically attached to this person. And I am generally attached to people of that country. Getting right? I am attached to India. I like Indians. I am attached to America. I like Americans. So that's like a generalized statement. But if you say, I like this person from that country. I like this person from India. This person from America. So there is a specification. But whatever you may say, these divisions of generalization and specification are all imaginations of person. He is not an Indian. He is not an American. Simple. A person who is advanced in knowledge will not be carried away by this divisions of generalization and specification or designations in specific. Right? It's only imagined by people who are ignorant. Both material and spiritual energies are ever existing because they are emanations from the eternal truth. Because individual soul has desire to act in forgetfulness of his original identity since time immemorial, he is accepting different persons in material bodies and being designated according to many divisions of nationality, community, society, species, etc., etc., etc. So you are looking for that specific relationship and designation, right? That is temporary, that you understand. The material elements are eternal and the jiva is eternal. But the combination in which they present themselves to develop, to churn some emotions in you, that is temporary. What is temporary? Give up. What is permanent? Be happy. Right? See, be happy to know that these elements are safe and this person is safe. Right? So it's a very deep philosophical lesson. Now Sukadeva Goswami is continuing. Thus enlightened by the instructions of Narada and Angira, Chitraketu became hopeful with knowledge. Wiping his shriveled face with his hand, the king began to speak. Now Chitraketu is speaking. Kim yuvam jnana sampanno mahishtau cha mahiyasam avadhutena veshena gudhav ihasamagatau.
King Chitraketu said, "You have both come here dressed like avadhutas, liberated persons, just to cover your identities. But I see that of all men, you are the most elevated in awareness. You know everything as it is. Therefore, you are the greatest of all great personalities."
So Angira Muni and Narada Muni instructed Chitraketu. So to revise the flow, first they said, there is actually no relationship between you and this person. It did not exist in the past. It did not exist in the... It will not exist in the future. It's only a temporary phase. So this union and separation of jivas will just happen by force of time, just like sand particles are brought together and then separated by waves of sea. So even this parenthood also depends on Lord's Maya and it is artificial. All material relationships are temporary. And it's... Again, another example is given. It's like Lord, child playing with toys. Similarly, Lord is playing. So parents only produce the body, not the soul. And material elements are eternal and the soul is eternal. The combination in which they present themselves for a temporary period of time should not be the cause of our lamentation. Right? Because that specific combination of matter and spirit that invoke certain relationship is temporary. We should not be carried away by that some temporary designations. Right? Now Chitraketu was enlightened. He said, "You are jnana sampanno, my dear sages. Kau yuvam jnana sampanno. You are fully developed in knowledge. Next, mahishtau cha mahiyasam. You are greatest of all the greatest. Greatest of all the great. Then avadhutena veshena gudav iha samagatau. You disguised yourself as wandering mendicants, like avadhuts. You presented yourself in front of me." So next, further he says, charanti hyavanau kamam brahmana bhagavat priyaham madrisham gramya buddhinam bodhayonmatta linginaham.
Brahmanas who are exalted to the position of Vaishnavas, the most dear servant of Krishna, sometimes dressed like madmen, just to benefit materialistic like us,
materialists like us, who are always attached to the sense gratification, and just to dispel our ignorance, these Vaishnavas wander on the surface of the globe according to their desire.
Charanti hi avanav kamam brahmana bhagavat priyaha. So devotees are servants of Krishna. They wander on the surface at their own will. Charanti hi avanav kaman. Then madrisham gramya buddhinam. I have this gramya buddhi. So gramya buddhi, exactly it is translated as obsession with temporary material consciousness. That is called gramya buddhi. Gramya katha means discussing about material, worldly topics. So people who are like me, who have this gramya buddhi, are benefited by your enlightenment. You just travel from one place to another place, you Vaishnavas, only to enlighten people like us. So who are absorbed in material consciousness. Bodhayan, bodhaya unmatta linginaha. Unmatta linginaha means totally maddened attire. Right, unmatya lingana means you are dressed like madmen, as if you are madmen. You are dressed like avadhutas, or mad people, or people might misunderstand by seeing your external attire. People may not understand that they have such deep knowledge, but actually you have deep knowledge. You are jnana sampannav, you are fully developed in knowledge, and only to enlighten people like us, who are absorbed in material consciousness, you travel from one place to another place. And who are such people? He gives so many examples of such people. Kumaro Narada Rubhar Angira Deva Lositaham Anantaratama Vyaso Apantaratama Vyaso Markandeyotha Gautamaham Vasishto Bhagavan Ramaham Kapilobadarayanihi Durvasa Yajna Valkascha Jatu Karnastha Tharunihi Romashchavano Datta Asurihi Sapatanjalihi Rishirveda Siradhaumyo Munihi Panchashikhastatha Hiranyanabha Kaushalya Shruta Devaruta Dhajaham Ete Parecha Siddhashesh Charantignana Hetavaham.
O great souls, I have heard that among the great and perfect persons wandering the surface of the earth to instruct knowledge to people covered by ignorance are Sanat Kumar, Narada, Ribhu, Angira, Devla, Asita, Apanantaratma, Markande, Gautam, Vashishta, Bhagavan Prashuram, Kapil, Sukdev, Durvasa, Yajnavalkya, Jatukarna, Aruni, other are Romasha, Chavana, Dattatre, Asuri, Patanjali, the great say Daumya, who is like the head of the Vedas, the sage Panchashikha, Hiranyanabha, Kaushalya, Shrutadeva, Ritadhvaja. You must certainly be among them.
So, two of their names are also mentioned, Narada and Angira. Angira. He will introduce, no? Who are you, he asked. Now, Narada, in the 17th verse, he says, I am Angira, he is Narada, by the way. So, 16th verse, he says, in this purport, Prabhupada is writing, Jnana Hetavaha, all these people travel to enlighten people, right? Great personalities wander not to mislead populace, but to distribute real knowledge. Without this knowledge, human life is wasted. Human form of life is meant for realization of one's relationship with Krishna or God. One who lacks this knowledge is categorized amongst animals. So, Pancha Sikha, that word is specifically elaborated by Prabhupada. One who is liberated from the conceptions of Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya. Pancha Koshas. And who is perfectly aware of subtle coverings of the soul. So such person is called Pancha Sikha. Most people in this world are caught up in this Annamaya. Some may be spicy annamaya, some may be non-spicy annamaya, but they are constantly looking to satisfy their tongue and bellies. Then 16th verse, very important verse. 16th verse discusses the attitude of a disciple. Tasmadyuvam gramya pashor mama moodhadhiya prabhu andhe tamasi magnasya jnana deepa udiryatam tasmadyuvam gramya pashor mama moodhadhiya prabhu andhe tamasi magnasya jnana deepa udiryatam tasmadivam gramya pashur. Oh my dear sages, I am like a gramya pashu. You know what is gramya pashu? A village animal, a street animal, like a dog or pig, not you know, city pashu, not a very what to say, sophisticated animals that stay in the kingdom, right? Horses are maintained by the royalty, or elephants are maintained by royalty, right? Elephants and horses are decorated with beautiful garments. Cows are decorated, bulls are decorated, their horns are decorated with gold, their hoofs are also decorated with golden things, right? And horse is very nicely decorated with you know, golden cloth and other things, ornaments. So like that, there are some royal animals in the Vedic society, and they are like pigs and dogs who are not so royal. Of course, dogs have become royal in the recent past, but in those days they are not considered so royal animals. Now dog can dine with the master, dine with a multi-millionaire sitting in the same dining table also. So here he says gramya pashu, pigs, like pigs are dog. So I am like that. See the comparison he is giving. See, get the principle. Now we say I am like dog, it may be like a sophisticated comparison. But he is, what he meant is, I am like a most insignificant person in front of you. I am like a gramya pashu. Tasmad yuvam gramya pashur mama moodhadiya prabhu. Why am I considering myself as a dog or hog or like gramya pashu? Because I have moodhadiya. I am very foolish. I lack spiritual knowledge. That's why I am lamenting like this, because of the death of my so-called son. So, and what are you? Andhe tamasi bhagnasya jnana deepa udiryatam. So therefore, you are my saviors. You should come and protect me and save me by enlightening me with knowledge. I am like a gramya pashu, ignorant. So you enlighten me with knowledge. So less intelligent. I am merged in darkness. Andhe tamasi magnasya. Magnasya means being so absorbed. Andhe tamasi magnasya, then moodhadiya and gramya pashur. These are the three qualifications of a disciple. At least the disciple will think himself like that. I am like a gramya pashu. I am like a moodhadiya. I am andhe tamasi magnasya. I deserve, don't know anything. I have to be enlightened by my spiritual master. With that attitude, if he approaches a spiritual master, then jnana deepya udiryatam, the spiritual master will lit the lamp of knowledge to show this person the light of knowledge. So Prabhupada writes the way of receiving knowledge. So it's a long purport. To put it in smaller points, Prabhupada says, submit oneself to the lotus feet of a great personality who can actually deliver transcendental knowledge. That is first step. So who should approach a guru? Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignasuhu sreyam uttamam. Jignasuhu, one who is inquisitive to understand what is the goal of one's life, such a person should approach a guru. He should be actually eager to receive knowledge and eradicate darkness of ignorance. Such a person only can approach guru. Next, what is the purpose of approaching a guru? Not for material benefits, not to cure some disease, not to solve some financial problem, or not to have an experience of some miraculous effect, show some magic, my dear guru, like that. So tad vijnanartham sagurum eva abhigachet. Only for vijnana you approach a guru. So Prabhupada also comments on Kali Yuga disciple guru combinations. So bogus gurus display magic and foolish disciples want to see the magic for material benefits. So no one is interested in spiritual life. So the definition of a guru is Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chikshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So disciples should think that I was born in darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. My respects to him. That gives the definition of a guru. One who opens the eyes of a disciple, ignorant disciple, with the knowledge, torch of knowledge. So that's how we completed 16 verses. Now 17th verse. 17th verse, Angira is saying, Sri Angira Avacha, Aham te putra kamasya, putra dosmya Angira nripam, yesha brahma suta sakshan, narado bhagavan rishihi. He says, I am Angira, and he is Narada, direct son of Brahma. 18th verse. Ittham tvam putra shokena magnam tamasi dustare atadarham anusmritya mahapurusha gocharam anugrahaya bhavataham prapta ivam iha prabho brahmanyo bhagavad bhakto navasa aditumarhasi.
My dear King, you are an advanced devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead. To be absorbed in lamentation for the loss of something material is unsuitable for a person like you. Therefore, we have both come to relieve you from this false lamentation, which is due to your being merged in the darkness of ignorance. For those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge, to be affected by material loss and gain is not at all desirable.
So, ittam tvam putra shokena magnam tamasi dustare. You are absorbed, magna. Magna means totally immersed. You are absorbed or immersed in putra shoka. You are lamenting for your son. Right? So, we have come to relieve you from this false lamentation for your son. He is a false son and your lamentation is also false. So, why this kind of false lamentation you are doing? Because of tamasi. Right? Magnam tamasi dustare. You are ignorant. You are merged in a darkness of ignorance. That's why you are considering so and so person as your son and you are lamenting so piteously. So advanced devotees who serve Brahmanas, Brahmanyo Bhagavad Bhakto, right? Such people should not lament. Atadarham anusmritya mahapurusha gocharam. Anugrahaya bhavataha paptav ivam iha prabho brahmanyo bhagavad bhakto. You are a brahmanya. Brahmanya means a worshipper of brahmanas. You are not an ordinary person. And bhagavad bhaktaha, you are a devotee of the Lord. So for a bhagavad bhakta and a brahmanya, this kind of material lamentation is not befitting. So you should not you are not supposed to lament like this. Right? For material loss or gain, navasaditum arhasi. So for neither loss or gain. Na avasaditum. Avasaditum means lamenting. Arhasi. You should not do that. So Prabhupada writes, the business of a devotee is not to lament on a material plane. He is called Mahapurusha, advanced devotee of the Supreme Lord. Mahapurusha is the word used to denote devotees or even the Supreme Lord. Maha is supreme. And Purusha is a person. So this Mahapurusha, Mahapurushika are applicable both to the Lord and a devotee. Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas. So a devotee should always aspire to live in the association of devotees and engage in the service of the Lord. So he should not aspire for material profit or material gain. And if he does not get it, he should not lament on a material plane. Okay, even the Lord is also called Brahmanya Devaya, Namo Brahmanya Devaya. So devotee is also Brahmanya Devaya. Brahmanya, may not be Deva, but he is Brahmanya. Worshipper of Brahmanas. Next, 20th verse. Tadaivate param jnanam. ददामि गृहमागतः ज्ञात्वान्याभिनिवेशं ते पुत्रम् एव ददाम्यहम्.
When I first came to your home, I could have given you the supreme transcendental knowledge. But when I saw that your mind was absorbed in material things, I gave you only a son, who caused you jubilation and lamentation.
So this is the secret. Angira waited till the third opportunity. When he first came, Chitraketu was overwhelmed with sorrow because he did not have a son. So he could not speak spiritual knowledge. After he got a son, he was overwhelmed with joy, jubilation. Then also Angira could not speak. He just gave a hint that he will cause happiness and distress, and he left. Now third opportunity is the best opportunity. So now he got a son. He experienced the affection for son, putra, vatsalya, whatever. And now he lost the son. He is in a better temperament to absorb spiritual teachings. So that is why Angiraman is saying, I could not speak to you earlier, so now I am able to speak to you. Read. Yes, tell me.
Earlier, this principle cannot be applied to this preaching, modern preaching. Like when someone is in sorrow, somebody has left his body, and we go there and preach that you are not, he was not this body, relationship is temporary.
Correct.
So what understanding can a preacher get from this? Like,
get the principle. Principle is, you try to give spiritual knowledge to the people in a way that they can receive, in a time when they can receive. So now Angira, in Chitraketu's case, he was in a better disposition to receive spiritual knowledge in this context than the previous two contexts. But in a similar context, someone else may not be able to absorb spiritual knowledge. Then you have to restrain yourself. Then you find some other context in which he can absorb spiritual knowledge. Somebody died. Recently someone, my brother had told me, he has some contacts in Silvasa. So that devotee's father passed away, and she was quite affected, right? So the couple came, and then they were speaking to me for 1 hour. So when someone loses his near and dear ones, right, that kind of creates some kind of lamentation. So in certain contexts, you may have to just hear. You should not speak. Let them speak, you hear. And next context, they may be able to hear little bit from you, right? Now they will speak for 1 hour and you speak for 5 minutes, and in the next meeting you speak for 15 minutes, they will speak for only 45 minutes. After some time both will speak for half an hour. After some time you will give class and they will sit and listen, right? And they will ask questions for 5 minutes. Right? So what works when, in whose case, it's all dynamic. You can't apply it in a black and white manner. So it all depends on the specific circumstances in which you are operating. You cannot simply go and say, did I say that in the beginning of the chapter? You can't just give these teachings as it is to someone who is in a similar context. Because it worked for Chitraketu. So now you get the principle from Angira. Angira waited for the third opportunity. For you, this third opportunity could be 30th opportunity. Who knows? Right? So third time it worked for Angira. For you, you may have to spend 10 times in various ways. Probably the first opportunity could be the best opportunity for you. Right? So for Chitraketu's case is different from others' case. But the principle is correct. Preacher waits for a right moment to give the spiritual knowledge. For example, Narada Muni thought that Daksha will be in a very renounced temperament now, because 11,000 sons are made into renunciants by our humble self. Right? So I will go and preach to him Krishna consciousness. But it didn't work. Narada Muni failed. What to speak of you and me? Then Prachinabari, he had to speak for five chapters. In Prachinabari's case, Narada Muni spoke Puranjana allegory for five chapters. Still he didn't understand. Then he spoke another allegory, dear allegory. Then also he didn't understand. Then he directly spoke transmigration of soul. Then also we are not sure whether he got it or not. He said, you get out from this palace. Don't wait for your sons to come. You just immediately move. Then he just left. Right? So Narada Muni had to spend 5 chapters for him. And Hariyashvas and Chavalashvas case, only 4 verses. That too in a cryptic language, super cryptic language. Just 10 points of allegorical story he gave, and those 10 points had different meanings. All these 10,000 people contemplated on that 10-point allegory and came to the same conclusion that Narada Muni does not want us to enter this karmic life. Kim asat karma bhir bhavet? You remember that line? Kim asat karma bhir bhavet? So what is the point in absorbing oneself in fruitive activities? Let's do devotional service. That worked for them. Intelligent people don't like to be told. If he's an intelligent person, you can't tell him, aisa karo, aisa karo. You feel offended. You give him hint, he should figure out on his own, and then he should do the needful. That will also give him some satisfaction, and you also got your purpose, right? So intelligent people should not be micromanaged, right? But Prachinabarhi did not show that intelligence, so Narada Muni had to directly tell him, indirectly tell him, allegorically, in various ways. But Prachetas, pure spiritual instructions are coming, right? So like the different things will work for different people. So many examples, same Narada Muni is preaching to different categories of people. He has different ways of deliverance. So like the different things will work in different contexts for different people.
Next, 21st verse. अधुना पुत्रिणां तापो भवत्तिवानुभूतये एवं दारागृहारायो विविधैश्वर्यसंपदः शब्दादयश्च विषयाः चलाराज्यविभूतयः महीराज्यं बलं कोशो भृत्यामात्या सुहृज्जनाः सर्वेऽपि शूरसेनेमे शोकमोहभयादितः गन्धर्वनगरप्राख्याः स्वप्नमायामनोरथाः.
माय डियर किंग, now you are actually experiencing the misery of a person who has sons and daughters. O king, owner of the state of Sursena, one's wife, his house, the opulence of his kingdom, and his various other opulences and object of sense perception are all the same in that they are temporary. One's kingdom, military power, treasury, servants, ministers, friends, and relatives are all causes
of fear.
Of fear, illusion, lamentation, and distresses. They are like a Gandharva Nagar, a non-existent palace that one imagines to exist in the forest. Because they are impermanent, they are no better than illusion, dreams, and mental concoctions.
Gandharva Nagara. Any other place where this Gandharva Nagara comes? You remember? Allegory. Which allegory? Forest of material enjoyment. 5.13 and 14. Something else. So Gandharva Nagara is a palace that one imagines in the forest. So you had something to, you know, okay. So in the purport, Prabhupada is saying continual tribulation in the material existence. Deha patya kalatradishu. They won't give protection. In spite of all these possessions, the spirit soul has to give up his present situation and accept another. The next situation may be unfavorable. But even if it is favorable, one must give that up also, accept another body. So it's like constantly we are jumping from one place to another place, one situation to another situation, one body to another body, one planet to another planet, one community to another community. So no situation is permanent, right? One cannot relax thinking that I'm in the most comfortable situation. May this life go like this forever. That will never happen. So a sane man should be perfectly aware that all these things will never be able to give him happiness.
One must be situated in his spiritual identity and eternally serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee. Now from 24th verse onwards, this is very elaborately explained, this whole temporariness. So in the 23rd, 22nd verses, it is said, now we are actually experiencing the misery of a parent, but this house, kingdom, opulence, etc., etc., are all causes of lamentation, shoka, illusion, moha, bhaya, fear, distress, artha. So, if one is attached to temporary possessions, temporary relations, temporary situations, he will only get four rewards. Right? Four things he will get as a gift, return gift. They are shoka, moha, bhaya, artha. Shoka, moha, bhaya, artha. These four are the rewards of a person who gets overwhelmed by any temporary situation or relation or emotion. Shoka, lamentation, bhaya, fear, artha, distress, moha, illusion. Four things. They are like Gandharva Nagara. No better than dreams. So in the 24th verse, he says, what is the cause of all this? That is mind. 24th verse. Drishyamana vinarthena nadrishyante manobhavaha karmabhir dhyayato nana karmani manaso bhavan.
These visible objects like wife, children and property are like dreams and mental concoction. Actually, what we see has no permanent existence. It is sometimes seen and sometimes not. Only because of our past action do we create such mental concoctions. And because of these concoctions, we perform further activities.
Drishyamana vina arthena. Drishyamana vina arthena. Vina arthena means without any substance, without any meaning. So, visible objects like wife, children, property are like dreams. No meaning. Drishyamana vina arthena na drishyante manobhavaha. So many visible objects are there. Because of our past actions, these visible objects are, you know, processed in our mind. And mind concocts all these visible objects into some other, you know, plans and creates further activities. So we see something and we have a past record of undergoing certain experiences. So our vision of those objects is influenced by our past experience, past actions, past activities, right? So our mind concocts future activities based on past experience and the current perceptions, current vision of certain objects. Getting right? So mind is concocting things. So that is how mind is the cause of all these problems. So the reason for suffering in the material world is like mental concoction. Just like in the night, one may see a dream. In the dream, he may see tigers, he may see snakes. But they are not actually present, but he's afraid. So everything in the material world is like a dream, a mental concoction. Because it actually has no permanent existence. Sometimes visible and sometimes not visible. So material world is a creation of our mental concoctions. So in that sense, it is illusory. It is false. But we understand it is false because it is temporarily existing. So we came to material world to enjoy material resources. So because of mental concoction, one may discover many objects of enjoyment and work in various ways to create various bodies. This is clear how mind is processing the images that we see based on one's past experience, and thus future activities are created, future bodies are created, future lives are created.
Long time.
How much long time? Kitna saal ho gaya? 10 saal ho gaya. But how many lifetimes of impressions are we carrying? So we can't expect all those impressions to go away overnight or just with our couple of years of experience in our immature, imperfect and insincere practice of devotional service. Sorry for saying that. I'm speaking for myself. So, you remember, I'll speak the solution. I'll not analyze so much the problem. We already analyzed mentally. The solution is, you remember 4th canto, 22nd chapter, 39-40 verses. Kumaras are teaching Prithu Maharaj. Anyone remembers those verses? Very important verses. I just told the number, but I thought something will click to you. Exactly. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha tadvanna riktamatayo yatayopi ruddha shroto ganastamaranam bhaja vasudevam. So, bhaja vasudevam. Bhajan of Vasudeva is the only solution. To the extent we are sincere in doing that bhajan of Vasudeva, devotional service of Vasudeva, to that extent, sroto ganastamaranam, the waves of this material enjoyment and mental concoctions will not disturb us. So Prabhupada, I mean, this also is still in an abstract sense. Prabhupada gives a more practical solution in the purport. He says, our desires for material enjoyment will never stop. Just like the ripples on a river will never stop, similarly our desires for sense gratification also will never stop. Will never stop. Mind will never stop concocting. Right? Will the river ripples will ever stop? Will it not make any sound, not make any ripples? That is never possible. But when the river meets the ocean, the oceanic tides will overwhelm this insignificant ripples on the river. And the tides will take over. The ripples will become insignificant. So the best way of controlling this mind and stopping this mental concoction is to replace our mental activities on a material plane with the spiritual instructions given by the spiritual master. Service. Focus on the service. Chanting is the best way, definitely. But how many have a good taste for chanting? If you can chant throughout the day, 192 rounds every day, or at least 100 rounds every day, without getting exhausted, without getting diverted, tears will come from your eyes or whatever, you feel ecstasy, continue doing it. You don't have to do any activity. But we are passionate. We have such background. Pachisal. Outside, we have accumulated a lot of material knowledge and certain natures and other things in this life. In previous life, that's a different thing. So we have certain nature, we need to engage that nature. Engage whatever skill set you have, whatever propensities you have in a bona fide service of Krishna as instructed by your spiritual authorities and absorb yourself in that service. Then sense gratificatory desires will not disturb as long as we are absorbed. But when we give some breaks in our service, sense gratification will come. Mind will just start thinking of our old habits and then old other sense gratificatory desires. So as much as possible, at our level, try to perform our services without any interruptions. Apratihata. Without any selfish motives. Ahaituki. It's difficult. But at our own level, we can endeavor. For me, not trying to take the prasad of someone, my other friend, is selflessness maybe, right? Everybody is given one laddu here. And if you don't take his laddu, that is your selflessness. Maybe that, to that extent you may exercise your selflessness. Like that, at our own level we can see where we are standing and then exercise this ahaituki and apratihata to whatever extent is possible and try to always increase that ahaituki and apratihata. For someone, no interruptions. No breaks in service means that day he will work for 5 hours. Right? He will do service for 5 or 6 hours. That is like full-time service for him. For some other person, he will work for 10 hours for Krishna's service. For them, it is apratihata seva. For some other person, 18 hours he will work for Krishna. For him, that is apratihata seva. But if your capacity is to work 18 hours for Krishna, to minimize it to 8 hours, that is not apratihata. Getting right? Different people are given different individual capacities to contribute. So let me work to my fullest extent. And always make an endeavor to increase my capacity. Increase the quality of my service and quantity of my service. Make an endeavor. You have certain ability. Engage that ability completely and make an endeavor to increase the quality of your service and quantity of your service. Quality in terms of the efficiency and the, you know, kind of output you are giving, and also quality of consciousness. Because of our devotees' mercy and Prabhupada's mercy, we have come to certain level. It may be base level, whatever. We have come to certain level of chanting Hare Krishna or studying Prabhupada's books or whatever. And we should always make an endeavor to increase. Yeah. That makes sense? Next. And we should not be discouraged when we are unable to do. Right? 24.
25. Ayam hidehi no deho. Dravya jnana kriyatmakaha. Dehino vividha klesha. Santapakrit udahritaha.
The living entity in the bodily conception of life is absorbed in the body, which is combination of the physical elements, the five senses for gathering knowledge, and the five senses of action along with the mind. Through the mind, the living entity suffers three kind of tribulations, adibhautik, adidevik, and adhyatmik. Therefore, this body is a source of all miseries.
Ayam hi dehino deho. Don't trust this body. This body will humiliate you. If you are attached to this body will completely embarrass you and humiliate you. You know what happens when you get admitted in a hospital? Right? In the old age, I got admitted several times. And somehow, fortunately or unfortunately, I could see some old people also getting admitted. 80, 85, 90, 70, in that range also. Even to pass urine, you cannot get up from your bed. You are dependent on the nurse or whatever, brother, Haribol, whatever they may call in the hospital, right? Even to pass urine also. The body, if you trust this body, if you are attached to this body, body will completely humiliate you. So we cannot depend on this body. As much as possible, use this body in Krishna's service, but without getting attached to this body. Maintain this body to whatever extent is needed, and use it for Krishna's service and go and don't get attached to it. So he says, Ayam hi dehino deho. This body of the living entity is composed of what? Dravya jnana kriyatmakaha. Material elements and jnana kriyatmakaha. Knowledge senses and action senses. Action senses, you do a lot of action, hands, legs, etc., etc. Knowledge senses, knowledge acquiring senses, eyes and ears, etc. And material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So that's what is the constituents of this body. Try to maintain them, try to engage them in Krishna's service. So there are 15 things mentioned here. 5 knowledge senses, 5 material elements and 5 action senses. All these 15 can be connected with Krishna. Right? So dehino vividha klesha santapakrit udahritaha. Dehino vividha klesha. It is said that it gives the living entity various types of suffering. Various flavors of suffering. Right, different ways in which body can trouble you. Somebody will have ear pain, somebody will have toothache, somebody will have headache, somebody will have backache, somebody will have stomach problems, somebody will have ortho problems. Right, somebody did not have any leg problems throughout his life, but he has stomach problem. Right, somebody does not have any digestion issues, but he has some headache, chronic headache. What is that called? Migraine. Right, somebody does not have eyesight. The body is designed to give you suffering. ಕ್ಷುತ್ರಿಧಾತುರಿಮ ಮುಹುರರ್ಜಮಾನ ಶೀತೋಷ್ಣವಾತವರ್ಷೈರಿತರೇತರಶ್ಚ ಕಾಮಾಗ್ನಿನ ಅಚ್ಯುತ ರುಷಾಚ ಸುದುರ್ಭರೇಣ ಸಂಪಶ್ಯತೋ ಮನ ಉರುಕ್ರಮ ಸೀದತಿ ಮೇ. ಈವನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೂ ಡಿಸೈನ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಸೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗೆಟಿಂಗ್ ಪರ್ಟರ್ಬ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಆಂಗ್ಸೈಟಿ. ಮೈ ಗಾಡ್, ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಾಡೀಸ್ ಬಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಆಂಕ್ಷಿಯಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಾಡೀಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡ್ಯೂಟಿ, ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಮ್ಯಾನೇಜರ್, ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಇಂಪ್ಲಿಮೆಂಟ್ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಮ್ಯಾನೇಜ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ರಿನ್ಸಿಪಲ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡೆಫಿನೆಟ್ಲಿ ದೋಸ್ ಡಿಸಿಷನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟೇಕನ್, ದ ವೇ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಇಂಪ್ಲಿಮೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಡೆಫಿನೆಟ್ಲಿ ಗಿವ್ ಸಫರಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸರ್ಪ್ರೈಸ್ಡ್, ಮೈ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೌ ವಿಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಮ್ಯಾನೇಜ್. ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್, ಕಿಚನ್ ಇನ್ಚಾರ್ಜ್ ಮೇಕ್ಸ್ ಎ ಪ್ರೋಟೋಕಾಲ್, ಎವ್ರಿ ಸಿಂಗಲ್ ಡೇ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಫೀಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಚಾರೀಸ್ ಪಕಾಲ್ 3 times in a day or 2 times in a day. Sorry? Very nutritious. Yeah, very nutritious, whatever. But every single day, that is the only item you get on all the 3 meals. Right? Because it is very nutritious, they want to implement this. Right? But seeing the flavors and desires for taste of all the devotees, so kitchen in charge also may get perturbed. Right? My God, poor people, they have to eat. How much? How long? Throughout summer. 4 months. 4 into 30, 120 days. 120 into 4. 480 meals. Right? All meals is only pakal, nothing else. I just made it. I don't know. Why. Just for example, just think about it. So he also may get perturbed. My God, they used to eat this, idli, dosa, on Sundays. They used to eat, two sabjis in a day. And all these things. So Brahmaji is getting surprised. Kshut, hunger. Trit, thirst. Tridhatubir, kafvata pitta. They are always in an imbalanced condition. There is no person, hardly any person in this world you will see kapha, vata, pitta are balanced completely. You go to any Ayurvedic doctor in the planet, he will touch your nadi, so and so dosha is there, he will say. He will never certify that you are perfectly in good health. No Ayurvedic doctor will certify you. Right? I have seen so many. Right? You take the most healthiest person in your ashram and take him there. He will touch and then say, oh, so and so problem is there. You do. You make milder treatment or stronger treatment, whatever it is. Tridhatu, they're always imbalanced. Kshitra tridhatu virima muhurardhyamana. Constantly in anxiety. Sita ushna vata varashair. Sita. So far we have seen Sitakal. Sitakal, cold. Vata, Sita, Ushna. Now we will see Ushna. Summer will come. Now you can't have class here after 1 month. Sitoshna Vata Varashair. Right? There is wind, there is Varsha. Varsha is rain. Itaretara, etc., etc. Brahmaji also is unable to count how many problems I am giving. Sitoshna Vata Varashair Itaretarascha. Kamagnina. Insatiable lust. Constantly every living entity is infuriated with this lust, right? Affected with this lust. So some doctors give some calculation. On an average, every man would feel lusty once in 6 or 7 minutes. On an average. Right? So, kamagdina achyuta rusha. Achyuta means infallible rusha, anger. So much frustration. If lust is not fulfilled, one will feel angry. So, kamagdina achyuta rushacha sudurbharena, intolerable. Sampasyato mana urukrama sidati me. I feel so pity for these people who are suffering like this. Brahmaji is thinking like this. So, body is meant to give all this. This material world is meant to give all these kinds of suffering. So many kleshas. Dehino vividha klesha. Vividha klesha, various types, various varieties of kleshas. Santapakrit. Santapakrit means only cause of suffering. Right? Santapakrit. So how to come out of this klesha? Take shelter of Krishna. So he will remove all kleshas. Take shelter of the process of bhakti. What is the process of bhakti? Kleshagni. Kleshagni. Shubhada. So klesha will be removed by the process of devotional service. How is the Lord glorified by Prachetas? Namo namah klesha vinashanaya nirupitodara gunah vayaya
मनोवचो वेग पुरोजवाय सर्वाक्षमार्गैरगता ध्वने नमः नमो नमः क्लेश विनाशनाय He is the one who completely vanquishes all material miseries that the devotees might experience. Right? So, body is the source of all these miseries, he says, Narad Muni. Next, 25th purport, Prabhupada says, because matter is indestructible, through the material condition, living entity suffers. Otherwise, living entity is detached from all material conditions. So, Brahman platform, Aham Brahmasmi, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, Mamayvamsha Jivaloki, Prabhupada quotes all these verses and says, living entity is actually part and parcel of the Lord and is unaffected by material conditions. But because mind is affected, senses are affected and living entity struggles for existence within the material world. So, body is clean, but the dress you are wearing is unclean. Right? People will say, hey, he's a dirty person. Your body is clean. You have taken nice bath, freshly with Upton, made from our, cow product stall. Right? You have taken nice bath, but you wore such a dirty cloth, so many stains. People will see that he's a dirty person. Similarly, the soul is pure, but the body in which the soul is, subtle body, that is filled with so many material coverings. Right? Subtle body is there, so many materializers are there. Mind, intelligence, ego is totally corrupted. And on top of it, there are material elements. This material, gross body. So this gross body is a medium through which subtle body functions. So the soul is entrapped in the subtle body and the subtle body is covered by the gross body. So because of so many contaminated desires in the subtle body, the gross body being a subservient to the subtle body is just acting according to those mental concoctions. When the subtle body is purified, when the mind is trained to think about Krishna, when the intelligence is trained to plan for service of Krishna, when the ego is trained to understand that one is servant of Krishna, then the gross body will become a subservient of, is already a subservient of subtle body, gross body also will act on a spiritual platform. Because the subtle body is spiritualized, right? So, living entity is actually unaffected, but because of this material body, material mind, he is affected. In 26th verse, last verse in this series. Tasmat svasthena manasa vimrishya gati matmanah daive dhruvartha विश्रम्भम् त्यजो पशममाविशा
Therefore, O King Chitraketu, carefully consider the position of the Atma. In other words, try to understand who you are, whether body, mind or soul. Consider where you have come from, where you are going after giving up this body, and why you are under the control of material lamentation. Try to understand your real position in this way. And then you will be able to give up your unnecessary attachment. You will also be able to give up the belief that this material world or anything not directly in touch with service to Krishna is eternal. Thus, you will obtain peace.
So finally he says you should understand your real position. Understand the tattva, truth. So give up unnecessary attachment and false faith. Then you will attain peace. That is the final instruction he gave. So Prabhupada writes, that this civilization is misdirected and Krishna consciousness movement is factually endeavoring to bring the human society to a sober condition. So finally, Narada Muni gives his mantra. First he says, what is that eternal object to which one should develop attachment to? So he says, Narada Muni, Sri Narada Uvacha, Etam Mantropa Nishadam, Pratichha prayato mama yam dharayan saptaratrad drishta sankarshanam vibhum.
The great sage Narada continued, My dear king, attentively receive from me a mantra which is most auspicious. After accepting it from me, in 7 nights you will be able to see the Lord face to face.
Okay. Yatpada moolam upasrutya narendra purve. Sarvadayo brahmamimam dvitiyam visrijya. Sadhyastadiyamatulandhikam mahitvam. Prapurbhavan apiparam chachirat upaiti.
My dear king, in the former days, Lord Shiva and other demigods took shelter of the lotus feet of Sankarsana. Thus, they immediately got free from the illusion of duality and achieved unequaled and unsurpassed glories in spiritual life. You will very soon attain that very same position.
Okay. So he gave him a mantra, Sankarsana's mantra, so that he can attain Sankarsana's darshan after seven days. So we will start 16th chapter after the break. Huh? Very effective mantra. I am chanting Hare Krishna since 10 years. No darshan till now. You will be satisfied with Diti Darshan. 16th chapter. Sri Badarayani Ruvacha. Atadheva Rishit Rajan. Samparetam Rupatmajam. Darshayitveti Hovacha. Jnati Nam Anushochatam.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, by his mystic power, the great sage Narad brought the dead son into the vision of all the lamenting relatives and then spoke as follows."
So Narada Muni brought the dead son into the vision of all lamenting relatives. So Acharya say that seeing that this lamentation and illusion was very difficult to stop, Narada Muni spoke through this dead son like that. He spoke. He only spoke. No child's words you will hear, they are actually Narada Muni's words. Second, Sri Narada Uvacha. Jivatman Pashya Bhadram Te. Mataram Pitaram Chate. Suhrudo Bandhavastaptaha. Shuchatvat Kritaya Bhrisham.
Sri Narada Muni said, "O living entity, all good fortune unto you. Just see your father and mother. All your friends and relatives are overwhelmed with grief because of your passing away."
So Narada Muni is waking up the Jiva. "O living entity, see your father and mother. Jivatman Pashya Bhadram Te Mataram Pitaram Chate. Mataram Pitaram. They are your parents." Again, Jiva is speaking. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Chitraketu understood, right? But other people there, they are still lamenting. To console them, Narada Muni spoke another set of instructions through the dead son also. Next, and of course, these are relevant for Chitraketu also in this point. Next, third verse. Kalevaram swamavishya. Sesham ayusuhrudvartaha. Bhungshvabhogan pitruprittan. Adhitishtanrupasanam.
Because you died untimely, the balance of your lifetime still remains. Therefore, you may re-enter in your body and enjoy the remainder of your life. Surrounded by your friends and relatives, accept the royal throne and all the opulences given by your father.
Re-enter your body and enjoy the remainder of your life. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, actually this boy did not have any remainder of the life only. So his tenure is done. So body is illusory. So he was not having any more time to live. But just to make a convincing show or whatever, Narada Muni did this. Now Jiva started speaking. Jiva uvacha. Kasmin janmanyami mahiyam. Pitaro mataro bhavan. Karma bhir brahmya manasya. Devatiryan riyonishu. Now Jiva says, my dear Narada Muni, what did you say in the second verse? Jivatman pasya bhadram te mataram pitaram chate. Oh Jivatma, may there be auspiciousness unto you. See your father and mother, they are lamenting. Now he says, kasmin janmani ami mahiyam pitaro mataro bhavan. In which lifetime are these my parents and father and mother? He says, in which birth did I have this kind of father and mother? He says, karma bhir brahmyamanasya. Because of my karma, I am wandering from one body to another body and I had so many species. Deva Tiryan Riyonishu. Deva, sometimes I was born as a demigod and sometimes as animal, Tiryan. Nru, sometimes as a human being I was born. So in which life, in which birth are these my parents? He asked the first question. That question itself is sufficient to explain the temporariness of a relationship between a child and parents. So, Prabhupada says, actually every living entity is Krishna's son. According to results of living entity's karma, he is forced to enter material elements in different bodies. So because he wants to enjoy the material world, Lord gives him a chance to enter various bodies. And there is no true relationship with the material body he gets from a material father and mother. So the medium through which a child is connected with the parents is the body. And the soul is not having any relationship with the body only. How can he have any relationship with people who are connected to him through that body? The medium itself is a temporary thing. The medium itself is not a factually related thing to him. And through that non-factual medium, he is coming in contact with other people. So how is it, how can that be called as a true relationship? So seminal birth is not birth in terms of Vedic things, Vedic standards. Yeah, definitely that has some relevance as per convention. You have to write in your Aadhaar card, passport, who are your parents, so and so, so and so. But actually dvija, every civilized human being is supposed to be a dvija. He should get initiation from a spiritual master and he is the actual father. Right, the material parents will only give material body, right? And sometimes a fortunate soul may also have his parents who gave him material body can also give him spiritual knowledge also. That is a different thing. But first birth is seminal birth. Second birth is spiritual birth. So fifth verse. Fifth verse is Bandhu Gnyatyatri Ari Madhyastha Mitro Dasina Vidvisham Sarva Evahi Sarvesham Bhavanti Kramashomitaham.
In this material world, which advances like a river that carries away the living entity, all people become friends, relatives and enemies in due course of time.
So, bandhu, gnati, ari, madhyastha. So, there are different ways in which living entities get connected with each other. So, this material world is like a flow of river. So, in that, there are some twigs or leaves that are floating on the surface of that river. And some leaves and twigs will come in contact with some other leaves and twigs. And as the pravaha is moving ahead, they get separated. They come together, they get separated. So like that. And in what ways they can get separated? In the pravaha of this material world. So bandhu. Bandhu means kinsmen through marriage. Through marriage you get some relatives. They are called bandhus. Then gnati means parental relatives. Gnatis. Right? Through your parental relationship, you are connected with parents and parents are connected to someone else. So their relations are called gnati. Then ari means enemies. Enemies means those who attack you. Bandhu Gnati Ari, Mitra, a person desiring one's good fortune. He's called Mitra. Then Madhyastha. Madhyastha means externally they are friendly, but internally they are inimical. Then Udasina means neutral people. Right? They are neither friendly nor inimical. Udasina. Then Vidvishaha. Vidvishaha means they cannot tolerate your superiority at all. They're envious people. So Bandhu, Gnati, Ari, Mitra, Madhyastha, Udasina, Vidvisha. These are seven categories of relationships a living entity could have. So Bandhu, Gnati, Ari, Madhyastha, Mitra, Udasina, Vidvishaha. Sarva Yevahi Sarvesham Bhavanti Kramasho Mithaha. So in this material world, in successive births, people become friends or relatives or enemies or false friends or etc. etc. of one another. Now, in this life, somebody is your friend. In the next life, he could become your father. In this life, someone is your son. In the next life, he may become your friend. In this life, somebody is your son, but next time, he may become an enemy. In this life, somebody may be your enemy. In the next life, he will become your son. That is called Shatruputra. There are four kinds of putras. Shatruputra, Udasina Putra, Dasa Putra, Sevaka Putra. Sevaka Putra, and who is the fourth category? Rini Putra. Right? You did not fulfill the debt of someone. You died. So, 10 lakhs debt is there. So, he will take birth as your son. And pura vasul, paisa vasul. 10 lakhs ka 10 cr. Papa mereko ho chahe, ho chahe, ho chahe. And affection is there. You have to repay that debt. So how we come in contact with different people in this world is totally inconceivable. Right? Highly inconceivable. So this is how people come in contact with each other. So Prabhupada is writing, today's friend becomes tomorrow's enemy. Just like yesterday we were discussing, yesterday at previous class. Devayani Sharmishta. They were friends before taking bath. They were enemies after taking bath. One bath in a lake. Not birth, bath. two asuras. Who are they? Sunda, Upasunda. Sunda and Upasunda. They went and asked a benediction from Brahma. You know the story? Madhukaitava, that's a different thing. Vishnu kills them. So they are so wonderfully related with each other. They have so much confidence in each other that we will never break our relationship. Right? Our relationship can never be interrupted by any force in the entire cosmic manifestation. So they went and to Brahma and said, we want immortality. We don't want to die. Then Brahmaji said, "Arey, I myself have to die one day, as usual, same dialogue." Then you ask some other benediction. Then he says, if at all we have to be killed, we have to be killed by each other. My death should take place in his hands and his death should take place in my hand. No one else in the entire world should kill us. Okay, fine. At least some condition is there. Then they are becoming very powerful and they are so loving to each other, they will never kill each other. They are confident that he will never kill me and he will never kill me. Both are confident about each other. So Brahma created Tilottama. And he sends Tilottama. And Tilottama says, I have come, Brahma had sent me so that I can become your servant, your maid servant. So one of you can marry me. Then both are saying, I will marry first, I will marry, I will marry. I am bigger, I am elder, I have to marry. No, I am younger, you should give me preference, my desire, I will marry first. Like that they are fighting with each other. Then she says, you better fight with each other, continue the fight. Whoever wins, I will marry. They fought with each other and they died. Like that. So, tat srishta srishta srishteshu konva kandita dihpuman prishim narayanam rite yoshit mayeva mayaya. So, except Narayan Rishi, who can control his urge to associate with the opposite sex? It's extremely difficult. Even such thick friends as Sunda and Upasunda also were killed by each other because of their attraction towards Tilottama. Today's friends become tomorrow's enemies. So today's brothers can become tomorrow's enemies. Right? They are loving brothers. They were raised so nicely by loving parents. And when it comes to property issues, they can become lifelong enemies also. Right? It's a common theme, at least in South Indian families also, I see. They are born and brought up in the same house. They lived for a couple of decades. And as soon as they get married, they want a separate house. This fellow will go and stay in some rented house. And he will go and stay in some rented house. Old parents are in this house. They come once in a while to see hi, hello, each other. Like that. Hardly any phone calls. It's like that. They just cannot get along with each other when the wives come. They're like one case. There are different flavors in which family problems can happen. So there are no combined families. No, joint families are not there. So instead of lamenting for dead son, Chitraketu could have thought, this living entity was my enemy in my last life. And now, having appeared as my son, he is prematurely leaving just to give me pain and agony. To give pain to another living entity, you don't have to beat him or kill him only. Just leave that place. Just make him an object of your affection, or make yourself an object of his affection and leave him. Sufficient. That's what he is doing. So common saying, son with good qualities who dies is actually an enemy, since he gives greater sorrow. And son with bad qualities is actually a friend, because he creates feelings of detachment, just like Anga and Veena. So prakrite kriyamanani, factually everything is happening because of the association of modes. One who is a friend today is in association with mode of goodness, may be enemy tomorrow in association with mode of passion or ignorance. As the modes work, in illusion, we accept others as friends, enemies, sons or fathers in terms of the reactions of different dealings under different conditions. So if the king's son was his enemy, how could the king have so much affection for him? That is the question. What is the answer? We'll read the next verse.
Yathavastuni punyani
hemadini
tatastatah
paryatanti
nareshvevam
jivo
yonishu
kartrishu.
So yatha vastuni punyani hemadini tatastatah.
Just like gold, hema is gold, vastu is other commodities.
So just like gold and other commodities pass from one person to another person in due course of transactions. So one fellow will go to jewelry market and then give him some money and then take some golden ring. And when he's about to die, he will give that ring to his friend. You know that Bhartruhari story? One sage came and gave a ring to this king, Bhartruhari. And told, you can gifted it to you. You can gift it to your beloved one. Then the king gave it to the queen. So this is a wonderful ring. A sage gifted me. So this has to be presented to the most beloved person. The person who is so close to your heart. So I am giving it to you. I love you, he says. Then the queen's dearest person is not the king. So queen gave it to a paramour. So that is her dearest person. And paramour's dearest person is not the queen. He knows one prostitute, right? So paramour presented it to a prostitute. And prostitute loves the king so much. And prostitute presented it to the king. So this is the ring that I presented it to my queen. How come it ended up in this lady's hands? Then he understood the temporariness of relationships in this world and the fallacy of love. He is the one who wrote Sringara Shataka. Sringara Shataka means very romantic 100 verses, right? No more description. So then he wrote Vairagya Sataka after this. Glorifying renunciation, he wrote 100 words. Dhiktam cha tam cha madanam cha imam cha mam cha, he says. Dhiktam cha. To hell with her, to hell with her paramour, to hell with his consort or his lover, and to hell with this whole process of love only in this world. And to hell with the Cupid who is causing all these material attractions, right? And he released himself from kingly responsibilities. Not to hell with me also, correct. Mamcha, imamcha, mamcha, correct. Okay. So like that, gold will go from one person's hand to another person's hand. So paryatanti nareshvevam jivo yonishu katrishu. The jiva wanders into various abodes with various fathers and mothers. So this is the nature of relationships in this world. So today somebody is son, somebody is mother, somebody is father, somebody is sister and wife, son, etc., etc. They will become something else in future. Or they may never see you for the for so many centuries and so many creations to come. But today is the closest friend, and after in the next day of Brahma, where he'll be, in which universe he will end up, you don't know. Right? So when someone's wealth falls into the hands of his enemy, the money becomes the enemy's friend. Therefore, the money belongs to neither of them. So similarly, the jiva is a completely separate identity from his so-called father and mother. By the laws of nature, the jiva is forced to enter the semen of a father and be injected into the womb of a mother. That's the only relationship. I had a relationship with my karma. Because of that karma, I ended up in relationship with these two people. Two people or whatever, 10 people, 100 people. So once my karma, the tenure is gone, then I will go somewhere else. Naikatra priyasamvasaha suhrida chitra karmanam oghena vyohamananam plavanam shrota shoyata chitra karmanam. Unique karmas we all have. Very unique karmas. We discussed this verse a couple of times in our previous classes. Now, in the sixth purport, Prabhupada is writing, when this we have discussed, prakriti kriyamanani, laws of nature force the living entity to go to different fathers and mothers, just like a consumer's commodity that is purchased and sold. We are like commodities. So gold has no independence. Gold cannot choose. I will be on the king's helmet, or I will be on this queen's hand, queen's crown. So gold has no choice. So a person will take the gold and then he can give it to a prostitute, or he can give it to a killer, a butcher. He can give it to someone else also. So he can put it on a stone, right? He can dig a hole into the earth and then he may hide it there. Sometimes to hide black money, so black gold in those days. So people will just dig the earth deep and then they will just hide it there. And the income tax people will come from the king's side and they cannot notice. And, oh fine, he is an honest person. After a few generations, somebody is just stealing that land and then he will find that gold. Hey, gold. They will think it is Lakshmi Prasad. But it is the actual goof up that his forefathers have done. Right? He must have done some cheating and all. He wants to hide it. So like that, gold has no choice. Gold cannot choose its owner. Similarly, living entities also cannot choose their relationships. In which body I will enter, which country I will take birth. Somebody may have a lot of affection for America. In America, there is a lot of scope for sense gratification. And he will endeavor so much to go to America. But going to America is not in his karma only. He will not go. He will just keep on dreaming till the end of his life. He will write GRE 100 times. He will write TOEFL 100 times. He will apply for so-and-so jobs in America 100 times. But he will not move out of India. He will not get visa. Other people, they don't want to go out of India, but his company will constantly send him. You go to America. You go to Germany. You go to Australia. We have so-and-so company meeting. He is constantly traveling everywhere. Right? So, because we have no independence, we have surrendered our independence to material nature, we are unable to exercise our actual independence. The real independence is when we perform loving devotional service to Krishna. Krishna will give full independence. Right? But otherwise we are controlled by the laws of material nature. We cannot choose our bodies. We cannot choose the families in which we have to take birth. We cannot choose the countries in which we can live. Right, we cannot choose our friends, we cannot choose our relationships. We have only one choice, to do good or bad in this context. Depending on that, our future is determined. Like that. So, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva. So he constantly does Brahmanda Brahman. Duty of a human being is to capture the opportunity to come in touch with Krishna's representative. Come in touch with Krishna's representative, a bona fide spiritual master. And under his guidance, you go to Krishna. So now, seventh verse is another profound verse. Nityasyarthasya sambandho hyanityo drishyate nrishu yavadyasya hi sambandho mamatvam tavadevahi.
A few living entities are born in the human species and others are born as animals. Although both are living entities, their relationships are impermanent. An animal may remain in the custody of a human being for some time and then the same animal may be transferred to the possession of other human beings. As soon as the animal goes away, the former proprietor no longer has a sense of ownership. As long as the animal is in his possession, he certainly has an affinity for it. But as soon as the animal is sold, the affinity is lost.
See? Nityasya arthasya sambandha. So two things are mentioned here. Sambandha, relationship, and mamatvam, possessiveness. So somebody is the owner of a goat, sheep, whatever. So there is a sambandha. I am the master and it is my animal. And there is mamatva, my animal. So sambandha, relationship is there, possessiveness is there. And he sells that goat in some, what is that called? Shopping mall. I don't know what, fair. Mela. Mela. He will go to Mela and then sell it. And the goat will become the property of some other person. Right? So that sambandha is gone, that mamatva is gone. That will become the property of someone else. So, sambandha is relationships, mamatva is possessiveness. Sambandha introduces that mamatva, and both the sambandha and mamatva both are anitya, temporary. Right? As soon as one is sold, he will lose any. So far, that is his house. He's cleaning the house so nicely, and he sells the house to someone. Will he continue to clean the house? Jhadu pocha marega kya? Right? Mera ghar hai. Now it's not your ghar. It is his house. So, dehinos min yatha dehe. Bodily dress is impermanent. Living entity is permanent. Because living entity is covered by a temporary dress, his eternity is not observed. This we discussed elaborately. So, ownership is transferred to someone. No relationship, no affection. So, if there is no affection, there is no lamentation. When it is your house, you will clean it daily. And when someone puts nail, some people give their houses in rent, and they'll say, you cannot put any nails there, right? Our walls should be like this. They're so attached to their walls. And the rented people who are renting, they cannot hang their calendars, right? That all this will happen. But this person sells the house, then the possessiveness is lost, the relationship has gone. Now you put 100 nails on the wall, no lamentation. Because that mamatva is gone, that sambandha is gone. So there is no lamentation. You put 100 nails, you change the paint. You paint the house with your favorite color and you sell the house to someone else and he will put some other color. It doesn't affect you. No lamentation. Right? Because mamatva is gone. Sambandha is gone. 8th verse.
Evam yonigato jivaha sanityo nirahankritaha
यावद्यत्रोपलभ्येतं
स्वत्वं हि तस्य तत्.
Even though one living entity becomes connected with another because of a relationship based on bodies that are perishable, the living entity is eternal. Actually, it is the body that is born or lost, not the living entity. One should not accept that the living entity takes birth or dies. The living being actually has no relationship with so-called fathers and mothers. As long as he appears as the son of a certain father and mother as a result of his past fruitive activities, he has a connection with the body given by that father and mother. Thus, he falsely accepts himself as their son and acts affectionately. After he dies, however, the relationship is finished. Under these circumstances, one should not be falsely involved with jubilation and lamentation.
So this concept already we discussed very elaborately. So because of one's karma, he's entrapped in a body.
and the body is the medium through which he is connected with his father and mother. So his relationship with the body itself is temporary, that itself is not factual. So how can some other relationship that is connected through this, you know, false thing can become permanent? So it is all temporary. Only because of his connection with the body, he feels some emotions for bodily relations. They are ultimately bodily relationships. So the feelings of separation on a material plane are only illusion. Even he says, Narada Muni tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was lamenting, Gandhari is gone, Dhritarashtra is gone, Vidura is gone, they are offended because of my behavior, I caused so much pain to their hearts, I will go and get them wherever they are. He was lamenting so much. Then Narada Muni gives him counseling, relax, you don't have to go. So this lamentation in separation is only because of your illusion. So Krishna has a plan for them. Krishna has a plan for you. You focus on your service. Let them focus on their service. So Dhritarashtra will go now and perform some yoga, Ashtanga yoga. And he will be liberated in his own way. Right? He will be delivered. You focus on your service. You be around. Do your service. Till Krishna is around. He gives a hint and he leaves. So that is another beautiful episode where the temporariness of material relationships is very elaborately described. You can refer. These are two or parallel references. So these illusions continue as long as one is not enlightened about the situation of the living entity. So these illusions are there only when one does not have the knowledge of the real situation. Jivera Swarupahaya Krishnera Nityadas. Our only eternal relationship is with Krishna. That is the only permanent relationship. Any other relationship will only frustrate us if we consider it a permanent relationship. It is temporary. See temporary things as temporary things. See permanent things as permanent things. So in the conditioned state, the illusioned, conditioned living entity will consider the temporary relationships as permanent and completely ignore the permanent relationship with God. And he has to continue, perpetually continue, going from one temporary relationship to another temporary relationship. One temporary situation to another temporary situation. One temporary residence to another temporary residence. So like that. It's transmigrating. Now the qualities of the living entity and the Lord are described in the next two verses. Yesha nityo vyaya sukshma. Yesha sarvashraya svadruk. Atmamaya guner vishvam. Atmanam srujate prabhu. Nahyasyasti priya kaschin. Na priya svaparo piva. Ekasarvadhyam drishta. Kartrunam gunadoshayo. So these verses can apply both to the Lord and the Jiva. So this is whatever table is given in Bhagavad Subodhani is a combination of Prabhupada's and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of these verses. So Nitya, both Lord and Jiva are Nitya, eternal. Avyayaha, both are imperishable. Sukshmaha, both are subtle and beyond perception, not seen by material eyes. Then Sarvashrayaha, Maya Gunehi. So in context of the Lord, Sarvashrayaha Maya Gunehi means he is the shelter of everything. He creates the universe through the gunas of his material maya. In the case of Jiva, it is, Jiva is prone to be illusioned by maya and creates various bodies himself according to his desires. That's how he is creation. Svadruk means Lord is self-manifesting. Then, priyaha kaschin na priyo svaparova. So, for Lord, no one is dear, no one is his or separate from him. So like that kind of conception Lord does not have. And Jiva also, no distinctions of dear or not dear. Or one other others. Then Ekaha Sarvadhyam, one without a second. The witness of all Jivas with various types of intelligence. Jiva acts in terms of friend and enemy in relation to others. Okay. So Lord is not affected by duality. Living entity is affected by duality. Sarvadhyam. Sarvadhyam. Eka means he is one.
right? Sarvadhiya means he acts in terms of various mentalities of being a friend of someone, of being enemy of someone, like that. Right? So the Supreme Lord is not affected by duality, but Lord, living entity is affected by duality. To become completely neutral and indifferent to material activities, the living entity should simply seek shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. He is the supreme neutral person. Next, 11th verse. So, there are a few points in the purport, 9th purport. Prabhupada says, relatively, if living entity is accepted as smallest, there should naturally be inquiry about the greatest. Supreme Lord gives living entity a chance to enjoy in material world as he desires, but he openly expresses his own desire that living entity gives up all material aspirations, fully surrender unto him and return back to Godhead. Similarly, in the 10th purport also there are some points about Lord's special inclination towards his devotees. So for the Supreme Lord, there is no friend, no enemy, no relative like that. So he is Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. So Lord is extremely antagonistic towards those envious of devotees. To protect his devotees, Lord sometimes can kill them also. Prahlad Maharaj Hiranyakashipu's case. So Lord has witness of everyone's actions. He witnesses actions of enemies of devotees and he is inclined to punish them. So like that, these words, whatever is mentioned here, they are elaborated. Now 11th verse is specifically about the Lord. Nadatta atma hi gunam, nadosham na kriya phalam, udasinavadasinah, paravaradrigishvarah.
The Supreme Lord Atma, the creator of cause and effect, does not accept the happiness and distress that result from fruitive actions. He is completely independent of having to accept a material body, and because he has no material body, he is always neutral. The living entities, being part and parcel of the Lord, possess his qualities in a minute quantity. Therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation.
So, therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation. So, entire discussion turned Chitraketu towards the Supreme Lord. First, he very systematically presented the temporariness of the material relationships, right? And finally, he gave the qualities of the Lord and the Jiva and ended up saying, these are the Lord's qualities, you should focus on the Lord, then you will not be deviated. So if one stops at the level of, you know, discussing about the temporariness of the material world, just detachment, then he may be like an impersonalist also. All the various categories of renunciants will speak up to the level of detachment. But only devotees will go beyond the detachment and speak about attachment to Krishna. Right? Detachment means zero. And we have to go to positive, right? From negative you are coming to positive. From negative you are coming to zero, neutral. Then go to the positive also. So focus on the Lord. So conditioned soul has friends and enemies. He is affected by good qualities and faults of his position. But the Supreme Lord is always transcendental. He is not affected by duality. Lord sits in the core of everyone's heart and neutral witness of causes and effects of one's activities, whether good and bad. To become completely neutral, indifferent to the material activities, we should seek shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay? So that's how the child enlightened. Narada Muni enlightened Chitraketu and other people there through the child. Now child's funeral rites will be performed. 12th verse. Sri Badarayani Ruvacha. Ityudirya gato jivo. Gnatayas tasyate tada. Vismitamu bhujus shokam. Chitvatmasneha shrinkhalam.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued. When the conditioned soul jiva, in the form of Maharaj Chitraketu's son, had spoken in this way and then left, Chitraketu and other relatives of the dead son were all astonished. Thus they cut off the shackles of their affection, which was due to their relationship with him, and gave up their lamentation.
Read the next translation.
After the relatives had discharged their duties by performing the proper funeral ceremonies and burning the dead child's body, they gave up the affection that leads to illusion, lamentation, fear and pain. Such affection is undoubtedly difficult to give up, but they gave it up very easily.
Because they understood things in a very philosophical way. Next, continue.
Queen Kritadyuti's co-wives, who had poisoned the child, were very much ashamed and they lost all their bodily luster. While lamenting, O King, they remembered the instructions of Angira and gave up their ambition to bear children. Following the directions of Brahmanas, they went to the bank of the Yamuna, where they bathed and atoned for their sinful activities.
So, because all these are Balaghna, killers of a child, they lost their bodily luster. They felt so ashamed. And this child killing is a very abominable act. So this practice is there in those days also, but it's done very rarely. Some people, because of envy, they did in Chitraketu's episode. And Putana is there. Otherwise, baby killers are very low in those days. But in Kali Yuga, abortion has become very common. And sometimes a child is killed even after the birth. Right? Some people kill embryos and infant babies, as if they have nothing else to eat. So woman who performs it loses bodily luster and must atone for it. But no one now is doing that. They must suffer in their next life. Like that Prabhupada says. If one chants Hare Krishna without offences, all one's sinful activities are surely atoned for immediately. But one should not commit such deeds again. That is an offence. 15th verse, read.
Thus enlightened by the instructions of Brahmanas, Angira and Narad, King Chitraketu became fully aware of spiritual knowledge. As an elephant becomes free from a muddy reservoir of water, King Chitraketu came out of the dark well of the family life.
How did he come out? Just like an elephant comes out of muddy reservoir of water. From the dark well of family life he came out. Next, 16th verse. He bathed in Yamuna.
The king bathed in the water of Yamuna, and according to prescribed duties, he offered oblations of water to the forefathers and demigods. Very gravely controlling his senses and mind, he then offered his respects and obeisances to the sons of Lord Brahma, Angira and Narad.
Now Narada Muni is instructing Chitraketu. Being pleased with Chitraketu, he is now detached, self-controlled, devotee, surrendered soul. Narada Muni spoke these instructions. Om Namastubhyam Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Dhimahi Pradyumnaya Niruddhaya Namasankarshanaya Cha. So this is obeisances to Lord Sankarshan, Chaturvyuha. Namo Vijnana Matraya
Paramananda
Murtaye Atma Ramaya Shantaya Nivritta Dvaita Drishtaye. So Vijnana Matraya. Namo Vijnana Matraya means Lord is full of knowledge. Next. Paramananda Murtaye. He is full in his bliss also. Transcendental bliss. Atma Ramaya. He is self-sufficient. He doesn't need anything beyond himself for his satisfaction. Shantaya. He is very peaceful. Nivritta Dvaita Drishtaye. He is not attached to this material world which is full of dualities. So these are the qualities of the Lord. But these four lines can also be applied to the Jiva. So Vijnana Matraya, he is covered by ignorance. He has opposite quality. Paramananda Murtaye, so he has form consisting of five material elements. But Lord is self-sufficient and most peaceful. But the Jiva is enjoying material objects and therefore always anxious. Lord is not attached to the material world, Nivritta Dvaita Drishtaye, but living entity is attached to the material world. Lord is Dvaita Drishtaye, means Lord is one without a second.
So angani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti vashyanti vanti kalayanti charam jaganti. So all the limbs of his body can perform the activities of other limbs also. So, but this living entity, he has bodies with different parts which have limited functionality. So like that, the opposite qualities of the Lord are present in the jiva, conditioned jiva. So they are present in the purports. Next, we will go to the 20th verse. Atmanandanubhutyaiva nyastashaktyurmaye namaha hrishikeshaya mahate namaste anantamurtaye. Atmanandanubhutyaiva nyasta shakti urmaye namaha. So he perceives personal bliss, atmanandaya, and is always transcendental to the waves of material nature. Nyasta shakti urmaye namaha. He is beyond the scope of or the influence of material nature and its function. But living entity, he is in the midst of all these waves of attraction and hatred. He is immersed in this ocean of material existence. Then hrishikeshaya mahate. Hrishikesha means he is the controller of senses, supreme controller of senses. Mahate Hrishikeshaya. Anyone who is controller of his senses can be called Hrishikesha. But he is Hrishikeshaya Mahate. He is best of all such controllers. He is the supreme controller of senses. On the other hand, living entity is controlled by the senses. Then Anantamurtaye. Lord has unlimited expansions, but living entity is limited to certain forms. Only one form or some limited forms. So like that, Narada Muni is glorifying the Supreme Lord, and Acharyas also give purports that how conditioned soul has opposite qualities. 21st verse. Vachasyaparate prapya yaeko manasasaha anamarupaschin matraha sovyannaha sadasatparaha.
The words and mind of a conditioned soul cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for material names and forms are not applicable to the Lord, who is entirely spiritual, beyond the conception of gross and subtle forms. The impersonal Brahman is another of his forms. May he, by his pleasure, protect us.
So here, it is described that Lord is Vachasi Uparate Aprapya. Vachasi Uparate means he is beyond the purview of your verbal description. You cannot capture him in your descriptions. Whatever eloquence you may have, poetic abilities you may have, you cannot completely describe the Lord. Vachasi Upari. He is unapproachable by words and mind also. Ya eko manasa saha. Ya eko, he is one entity. And he is entirely spiritual. Anama rupaha chinmatraha. Anama rupaha means no material names or material forms. And he is the cause of the material world. Right. Sadasatparaha. He is beyond the cause and effect. May he protect us. So anama rupa, another reference is there. Anama rupam niraham prapadye. Yattad vishuddhanu bhavamatramekam svatejasa dhasta gunavyavastham. Pratyak prashantam sudhiyopalambanam hyanama rupam niraham prapadya. You remember Hanuman's prayers to Lord Ram. And also we have Vachasi Uparase. Just now we quoted this verse. Namo namah klesha vinashanaya nirupitodara gunahavayaya mano vacho vega purojavaya. Similar qualities coming here also. Mano vacho vega purojavaya. Like that, Lord has all these qualities. So according to Acharyas, this is a description of Lord's impersonal Brahman also. Although you can apply this to personality of Godhead, but impersonal Brahman also. Unapproachable by words, entirely spiritual, no material names or forms. So like that. 22nd. Yasmin idam yatascedam tishtatyapyeti jayate mrinmayeshviva mrujyatihi tasmaite brahmane namaha
As pots made completely of earth are situated on earth after being created and are transformed into earth again when broken. This cosmic manifestation is caused by the Supreme Brahman, situated in the Supreme Brahman and annihilated in the same Supreme Brahman. Therefore, since the Supreme Lord is the cause of Brahman, let us offer him our respectful obeisances.
So, Lord is the creator of this universe. To understand this, it's like from the Lord's body only all the universes are emanating. And when they are annihilated, they go back into his body. So, just like a pot is created from the earth, when the pot is broken, and it goes into the earth. Bodies are created from the earth, body is burnt, and again it merges into the earth. Similarly, all the universes also. Next, 23.
Yannaspruśanti na vidur manobuddhindriyasavaham antarbahischa vidatam vyomavattannatosmyaham.
The Supreme Brahman emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and expands like the sky. Although untouched by anything material, it exists within and without. Nonetheless, the mind, intelligence, senses and living force can neither touch him nor know him. I offer unto him my respectful obeisances.
Again, Brahman is described here. It emanates from the Lord and expands like the sky, inside and outside, untouched by anything material. So like that, what must to elaborate? 24th verse.
Dehendriya prana manodhiyomi yadamsha vidhaha pracharanti karmasu naivanyada lohamiva pratapam sthaneshu taddarshata padeshameti.
As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman.
So Lord is the source of the consciousness. So otherwise senses cannot act. So only a conscious body can function. Our senses are active only when the body is conscious. A dead body cannot function. So who is the source of that consciousness? Krishna. That is described here. So only when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Lord, the body, the senses, the living force, everything is functioning. Just like an iron cannot burn unless heated by fire. You touch an iron, this iron, nothing is happening. But if you burn it in the fire, then hand will burn. Similarly, touch a dead body, no movement. When consciousness is there, the body can function. And where is that consciousness coming from? Just like heat in the iron is coming from fire, consciousness in the body is coming from the Supreme Lord. Doing it is part and parcel of Supreme Lord. So, deha, indriya, prana, mano, dhyomi. So, this verse also proves that the Lord is the supreme controller and all credit should go to him. Without his empowerment, nothing can move. Senses are moving in different ways. Somebody may play cricket and then throw the ball like this. Somebody may hit the ball like that. So people cannot claim credit for it. Ultimately, the consciousness and the ability, sensual strength, mental power, intelligence, everything is coming from the Lord. Right? So he is the source of everything. So Prabhupada says, red hot iron can burn, but it cannot burn the original fire. That's another point. Therefore, the consciousness of the small particle of Brahman is fully dependent on the power of Supreme Brahman. Mattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. The power for activities comes from the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord withdraws this power, conditioned soul can no longer has energy with which to act through his various senses. Lord gives power, Lord withdraws that power. One has to acknowledge Lord as the source of all powers and engage all those powers in Lord's service. That is what we need to do. So Hrishikesha, the only conductor of senses, unless empowered by his energy, our senses cannot act. So this point is elaborated several times so far. Now the next verse is a prose verse, right? Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Mahanubhavaya Maha Vibhuti Pataye Sakala Satvata Parivruddha Nikara Kara Kamala Kudama Lopa Palita Charanaravinda Yugala Parama Parameshtin Namaste. Read the translation.
O Transcendental Lord, who are situated in the topmost planet of spiritual world, your two lotus feet are always massaged by a multitude of the best devotees with their lotus bird hands. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, complete in six opulences. You are the Supreme Person mentioned in the Purusha Sukta prayers. You are the most perfect, self-realized master of all mystic power. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
So, yeah, this verse you can see. Lord accepts service from all devotees, Parama Parameshtin. He is the Supreme Person, yet he is very kind to the devotees. No one is competent to serve the Lord. But even if a devotee is not competent, the merciful Lord accepts the humble attempts of devotees to serve him. Okay, Parama Parameshtin. Please establish me also in the service of massaging your feet. But you are very low. How can I engage in such a high service? But you are the supreme among supreme lords. You are Parama Parameshtin. So you are able to do whatever others cannot do. So please engage me in your service. That's what the devotee says. So these are few prayers by Narada Muni. Basically Narada Muni is instructing Chitraketu all these prayers. So this is how the Lord is glorious. You should surrender unto him. You should chant that Sankarsana mantra that I give. So by this Chitraketu attains the Lord's darshan. Okay, 26. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Read the translation.
Sri Shukadev Goswami continued, Narad, having become the spiritual master of Chitraketu, instructed him fully in these prayers because Chitraketu was fully surrendered. O King Parikshit, Narad then left with the great sage Angira for the topmost planet known as Brahmalok.
Bhaktayaitam prapannaya vidyam asidya Naradaha. So he is a surrendered devotee. He is a bhakta and prapanna. That is why he is entitled to receive spiritual instructions from such an exalted spiritual master as Narada. So he received. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, what is the conducive situation for instructing bhakti yoga? Angira brought Narada to Chitraketu after his son died, not before. Because earlier Chitraketu was not in a temperament of renunciation. After son's death, he was overwhelmed by great plight. He was awakened to the platform of renunciation. This we discussed elaborately. As long as one is attached to material enjoyment, bhakti yoga cannot be understood. He was obsessed with the desire to have a son. He cannot understand bhakti yoga. After he got a son, he was obsessed with the happiness of having a child. Then also he cannot understand. So later, when the son died, he had an experience of having a child. And now he is in a renounced temperament because son died. So now he is in a better position to accept bhakti yoga. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's verse. So bhakti hi pareshana bhava viraktir anyatra cha. So when someone is performing bhakti, when someone performs devotional service, his devotional attitude towards the Lord will increase. Bhakti hi. Para Ishanu Bhavo, he starts experiencing the Supreme Lord. And Viraktir Anyatracha, whatever is not connected to the Supreme Lord, he develops detachment from it. So these three things will happen. So this is compared to taking food. When you take food, your satisfaction will increase, your hunger will go away. Right? And you don't feel like eating anymore. Right? There is some satiation also. So that is compared. Anyone who follows in the footsteps of Narada is certainly a pure devotee. 27. Chitraketu stutam vidyam yatha narada bhashitam dharayam asa saptaham abhaksha susamahitaha. read fasting and drinking only water, Chitraketu, for 1 week, continuously chanted with great care and attention the mantra given by Narada Muni. So after 1 week of repeatedly practicing the mantra received from Guru, Chitraketu achieved the rule of the planet of Vidyadharas as an intermediate product of his spiritual advancement. So becoming a Vidyadhara is not the ultimate result, it's an intermediate result. So what is the primary result? That is explained in the 29th verse. So 28th purport has very nice points. Prabhupada says there are some byproducts of sincere devotional service. If a devotee after being initiated adheres rigidly to instructions of the spiritual master, he is naturally endowed with material opulences also. Here Chitraketu got Vidyadhara Adhipatyam. So a devotee need not practice yoga, karma, jnana to achieve successful result. Vedeshu, yagneshu, tapasu, chaiva, daneshu, yatpunya, phalapratishtam, atyati tat sarvam idham viditva, yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. So there is no separate endeavor required from devotee's side to attain some secondary things. Focus on devotional service. If you need other things, they will automatically come by the grace of the Lord. So pure devotee is never attached to material power, although he gets it very easily without personal endeavor. Prabhupada writes, now 29th verse. Thereafter, within a few days, by the influence of mantra that Chitraketu had practiced, his mind became increasingly enlightened in spiritual progress and he attained the shelter of Ananta, Lord Sesha. So shelter of Ananta is the primary result. Is the main result he got. Becoming a king of Vidyadhara planet is a byproduct, is a secondary result of his service. 29th purport, Prabhupada says, devotee's material opulence is also spiritual. Bricks, stone, wood, when it is used for a temple construction, they become spiritual. Just as the deity, all the made of stone is spiritual, he is Lord himself. So Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyati. So, by worshipping Vishnu, one can get whatever he desires. But pure devotee never asks Vishnu for any material profit, but serves him without material desires and is ultimately transferred to spiritual kingdom. Now, he attains the darshan of the Lord. So, next four verses describe that darshan. Mrinala gauram shitivasa samspurat. Kiritakeyo rakiri. Katitra kankanam prasanna vaktra runalochanam vritam dadarsha siddheshwara mandalai prabhum mrinala gauram shitivasa samspurat kirita keyura katitra kankanam prasanna vaktra arunalochanam vritam dadarsha siddheshwara mandalai prabhum mrinala gauram. He is white as white as the fibers of lotus. Then sitivasasam spurat, he is wearing bluish garments. Today our deity's dress is bluish. Yesterday also. Yesterday partially blue, which may yellow. And kirita keyura katitra kankanam. He was adorned with glittering helmet, kirita. Keyura katitra. He is wearing armlets and belt and bangles, kankanam. Then prasanna vaktraruna lochanam vritam. Prasanna vaktra. His face is very pleasant, smiling. Aruna lochanam. He has reddish eyes. Then dadarsha siddheshwara mandala prabhum. Surrounding him were so many siddhas, liberated people like Sanat Kumara, four Kumaras. Like that Lord gave him darshan along with his associates also, Lord Sankarshan. So Chitraketu became very ecstatic upon seeing the Lord. Taddarshanadhvasta samasta kilbisha swasthamalantah karano Bhayan Muni Pravriddha Bhaktya Pranayeshu Lochana
ప్రహృష్ట రోమ రోమానమదాది పురుషం తద్దర్శనధ్వస్త సమస్త కిల్బిష స్వస్థామలాంతఃకరణోభ్యయాన్ముని ప్రవృద్ధభక్త్యా ప్రణయాశ్రులోచన ప్రహృష్ట రోమానమదాది పురుషం తద్దర్శనధ్వస్త సమస్త కిల్బిషః. వాట్ ఎవర్ కంటామినేషన్ హీ మే బి క్యారీయింగ్ సో ఫార్ దట్ ఈస్ కంప్లీట్లీ వ్యాంక్విష్డ్ జస్ట్ బై ద దర్శన్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ సంకర్షణ్. తద్దర్శన ధ్వస్త సమస్త కిల్బిషః కంప్లీట్లీ. దెన్ స్వస్థామల స్వస్థ అమల అంతఃకరణం, హిజ్ అంతఃకరణ హ్యాస్ బికమ్ వెరీ క్లీన్ అన్కంటామినేటెడ్ రైట్, హీ హాస్ బికమ్ అటైన్డ్ ఏ స్పాట్లెస్ మైండ్. సో అభ్యయాన్ మునిహి, సో హీ అప్రోచ్డ్ ద లార్డ్. మునిహి మీన్స్ వన్ హూ ఈజ్ సైలెంట్. వెరీ సైలెంట్లీ హీ అప్రోచ్డ్ లార్డ్ సంకర్షణ్. దెన్ ప్రవృద్ధ భక్త్యా, హీ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ ఎన్ ఇంక్రీజ్ ఇన్ హిస్ డివోషన్ టువర్డ్స్ ద లార్డ్ రైట్, హిస్ డివోషనల్ యాటిట్యూడ్ ఇంక్రీస్డ్. ప్రవృద్ధ భక్త్యా ప్రణయాశ్రులోచన లోచన, హిస్ ఐస్ ఆర్ షెడింగ్ టీయర్స్ అశ్రు. వాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ టీయర్స్? ప్రణయాశ్రు, టీయర్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్. దెన్ ప్రహృష్ట రోమానమద ఆది పురుషం, హిస్ హెయిర్స్ ఫర్ స్టాండింగ్ అన్ అండ్ అండ్ హీ ఆఫర్డ్ రెస్పెక్ట్స్ టు ది లార్డ్ ఆది పురుష, ఒరిజినల్ లార్డ్. సో ప్రోపద్ రైట్స్ ఇన్ ది పర్పోర్ట్ ది పవర్ ఆఫ్ టేకింగ్ దర్శన్. తద్ దర్శన ధ్వస్త సమస్త కిల్బిషః, ఇఫ్ వన్ రెగ్యులర్లీ సీస్ ది లార్డ్ ఇన్ టెంపుల్ వన్ విల్ గ్రాడ్యువల్లీ బి డిస్ఇన్ఫెక్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ మెటీరియల్ డిజైర్స్ సింప్లీ బై సీయింగ్ ది లార్డ్ దర్శన్. వెన్ వన్ ఈస్ ఫ్రీడ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ సిన్ఫుల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ వన్ విల్ బి ప్యూరిఫైడ్ అండ్ విత్ ఎ హెల్దీ మైండ్ కంప్లీట్లీ క్లెన్స్ అండ్ హీ విల్ ఇంక్రీజింగ్లీ మేక్ ప్రోగ్రెస్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్. స ఉత్తమ శ్లోక పదాబ్జ విష్టరం ప్రేమాశ్రులేశైర్ ఉపమేహ యన్మును ప్రేమోపరుద్ధాఖిల వర్ణ నిర్గమో నైవాసకత్తం ప్రశమీడితుం చిరం. రీడ్ ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్.
విత్ టీయర్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ అండ్ అఫెక్షన్ చిత్రకేతు రిపీటెడ్లీ మాయిస్టన్ ద రెస్టింగ్ ప్లేస్ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్స్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ బికాస్ హిస్ వాయిస్ వాజ్ చోక్డ్ ఇన్ ఎక్స్టసీ ఫార్ అ కన్సిడరబుల్ టైమ్. హీ వాజ్ అనేబుల్ టు అటెర్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ ద లెటర్స్ ఆఫ్ ద అల్ఫాబెట్ టు ఆఫర్ ద లార్డ్ సూటబుల్ ప్రేయర్స్.
సో చిత్రకేతు, ఆల్దో హీ వాంటెడ్ టు ఆఫర్ ప్రేయర్స్, ఈజ్ అనేబుల్ టు ఆఫర్ ప్రేయర్స్. దిస్ ఈజ్ లైక్ రెగ్యులర్ థీమ్. ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్ హ్యాడ్ సమ్ ఇనిషియల్ స్టార్టింగ్ ప్రాబ్లమ్, ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ హ్యాడ్ ఎ స్టార్టింగ్ ప్రాబ్లమ్. సో ప్రహ్లాద్ మహారాజ్, ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ వాజ్ టచ్డ్ విత్ ద కాన్షియస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ రైట్. ఈవెన్ దితి, అదితి అదితి అటెండ్ ద దర్శన్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ ఆఫ్టర్ పెర్ఫార్మింగ్ దిస్ పయోవ్రత సెరమనీ, పయోవ్రత సాక్రిఫైస్. దెన్ లార్డ్ అపియర్డ్, దెన్ ఆల్సో షీ వాజ్ లిటిల్ పెర్టర్బ్డ్. సో లైక్ దట్ సమ్ జర్క్ రైట్ సడన్లీ లార్డ్ మేనిఫెస్టెడ్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ యూ. సో దేర్ ఈస్ ఇమ్మీడియట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్స్టసీ దట్ డివోటీ ఫీల్స్. సో వర్డ్స్ విల్ నాట్ ఇమ్మీడియట్లీ కమ్ అవుట్. సో దే కంపోజ్ దెమ్సెల్స్, దే గ్యాదర్ దేర్ సెన్సెస్ అండ్ దెన్ స్లోలీ స్టార్ట్ ఆఫరింగ్ ప్రేయర్స్. సో హియర్ స ఉత్తమ శ్లోక పదాబ్జ విష్టరం. హూ ఈజ్ ఉత్తమ శ్లోక? ద లార్డ్ హూ ఈజ్ గ్లోరిఫైడ్ ఇన్ చాయిసెస్ట్ పోయిట్రీ. సంకర్షణ్ హియర్. సో పదాబ్జ విష్టరం ప్రేమాశ్రులేశైర్, ప్రేమాశ్రు హిజ్ ఈ ఐస్ ఆర్ షెడింగ్ ప్రణయాశ్రు ఆర్ ప్రేమాశ్రు, హిజ్ ఐస్ ఆర్ షెడింగ్ టీయర్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్. సో చిత్రకేతు ప్రాక్టికల్లీ మేడ్ ద లార్డ్స్ ఫీట్ వెట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ త్రూ హిస్ టీయర్స్ రైట్. ప్రణయాశ్రు లేశైర్, ప్రేమాశ్రు లేశైర్ ఉపమేహయం ముహు, కాన్స్టెంట్లీ హీ వాస్ క్రయింగ్. అండ్ ప్రేమోపరుద్ధాఖిల వర్ణ నిర్గమో, వర్ణ నిర్గమో మీన్స్ నో సిలబల్ ఇస్ కమింగ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ మైండ్ ఆఫ్టర్ హిస్ మౌత్. అఖిల వర్ణ నిర్గమ, నో వర్ణ ఈజ్ సిలబస్. కృష్ణ వర్ణం తృషాకృష్ణం, వర్ణ వర్ణయతి మీన్స్ డిస్క్రైబింగ్, వర్ణ కెన్ ఆల్సో మీన్ సిలబల్స్ ఆర్ అక్షరస్ లెటర్స్. సో హీ నోస్ ఆల్ఫాబెట్ డెఫినెట్లీ, సో నో ఆల్ఫాబెట్స్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ మౌత్ ఓన్లీ రైట్. సో నైవాసకృత్ ప్రసమీడితుం చిరం, హీ కుడ్ నాట్ ఆఫర్ ఎనీ సూటబుల్ ప్రేయర్స్ ఫర్ యునో క్వైట్ సమ్ టైమ్.
So Prabhupada is writing perfection of one's talents. All the letters of alphabet and words constructed by those letters are meant to offer prayers to the Lord. So beautiful verse. Prabhupada quotes that verse. Idam hi pumsas tapasas rutasyava svishtasya suktasya sa buddhi dattayoho avichitortha kavibhir nirupito yaduttama shloka gunanuvarnanam. You may have scientific knowledge, philosophical knowledge, political knowledge, economic knowledge, and so many other abilities. You may be a very literary person. But all these faculties are perfected only when they are engaged in Uttama Shloka Gunanu Varnanam. If they are utilized for the glorification of Lord Uttama Shloka, then they are useful. Otherwise, they are useless. Next verse. Last verse. Tatah samadhaya mano manishaya babhasha etad pratilabdha vagasu niyamya sarvendriya bahya vartanam jagadgurum sattvata shastra vigraham.
Thereafter, by controlling his mind with his intelligence and thus restricting his senses from external engagements, he recovered suitable words with which to express his feelings. Thus, he began offering prayers to the Lord, who is the personification of the holy scriptures, the Satvat Samhitas, like the Brahma Samhita and the Narad Pancharatra, and who is the spiritual master of all. He offered his prayers as follows.
So by controlling his mind and restricting his senses, he recovered his speech and offered prayers. So who is that Lord? Two kinds of descriptions are given. Last line you see, Jagat Gurum. He is the spiritual master of entire universe, all universes. And Satvata Shastra Vigraham. He is the personification of all Satvata Shastras. Beautiful Shastras. Personification of scriptures is the Lord. So Chitraketu began offering prayers. One cannot offer prayers to the Lord with mundane words. One must become spiritually advanced by controlling mind and senses. Then he can find suitable words to offer prayers. Okay. Devotees do not offer prayers to the Lord in an imaginary form. The existence of the Lord's form is supported by all Vedic literatures. So he can also be called Satvata Shastra Vigraham. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.